You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Oh, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is liberty. Each week, we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty. Rock and roll.
Hey there, Liberty lovers. This is Mark Clare of the Lions of Liberty podcast, where we strive to bring you great conversations about the ideas of liberty 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Check us out at lionsofliberty.com.
Hey guys, this is Roger Paxton, and if you're fed up with the government running every single aspect of your life, but you're not listening to the Lava Flow podcast yet, then what's wrong with you? Check us out at thelavaflow.com, or just go back to sucking up to the government. The Lava Flow podcast, striking the root every single episode.
We are supported by listeners like you. Donate per month or make a one-time donation through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com. Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. We Are Libertarians brings you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves. We explain to you what the hell is happening in our world today and how we can fix it by thinking differently. This is a podcast brought to you by the We Are Libertarians Network, so please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, share this episode with friends, and support us through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com. We're blessed to have two Jeremiah Morrill Pizza Society members on the podcast this evening. We'll talk about that in a moment. And that money pays the bills. Cost me about $100 a month to run this, and you guys have covered the bills, and we thank you so much. And we want to grow some more. So if you donate, we're going to put that towards Facebook-like growth so we can extend our reach this coming year. And we're always taking your questions and comments via email at editor@wearelibertarians.com. With me, at always, to my right, as always, is Mr. Gregory Linz. Greg, how are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
I can't thank you enough for getting me a Rush Limbaugh key or a mouse pad. Mouse pad. I mean, it is America's truth detector on it.
Well, it needs to stay here. So it always is here. So if you want, if I dig through here, you guys, you go ahead and talk.
Fill all right. Some time here. Well, apparently he's got more Rush Limbaugh paraphernalia, and he did grow up as a scumbag Republican in only, 2003, 2004, I think, he converted. But yeah. I would imagine, as the kind of collector you are for American history and Americana, yes, you would have a lot of Rush Limbaugh stuff.
So you're talking, I apparently turned my volume up, you were talking into an SM58 microphone.
Yep.
You were talking into the Ryan Ripley microphone.
Nice.
And
I knew it smelled like Democrat.
Yep, and I'm talking into the Christy Avery microphone here. And if you want, you can put this on your microphone, or you can just keep it by you.
I think I'll just keep it by me.
It is the golden WAL microphone. It is a screen guard for the SM58. It is a gold screen. We'll put that up on our Instagram account.
I feel honored.
Yeah, so very prestigious. So with us as well, let's introduce ladies first. So Jeremiah Morrill, how are you doing?
Oh, good. He's going to finally introduce his guests so we can talk. We don't have to just sit here and pretend like you're not on the radio.
Well, Jeremiah Morrill joins us, the namesake of the Jeremiah Morrill Pizza Society. And the other member, there are only two $7 a month donors to
come
our
on, people, come off your wallets.
We cover 14% of your costs every month.
You do, actually.
Look at you, math major.
And
I'm a teacher. That's how it works.
She teaches at the third grade level.
Sarah, do you want us to use your last name?
That is perfectly fine with me.
Okay, you're Sarah Potter. You are the girlfriend of Jeremiah Morrill. You are here.
That is correct.
You are here against your will tonight.
Kind of.
As a legendary libertarian, I brought a date to a podcast.
That is
first
congratulations
time
to
it
me.
Has
although,
ever happened.
No, I will tell you, every time he has, it has not gone well.
I'm telling you, that
it's
is
kind of
true.
A curse.
I would say out of the five women that I have brought to a podcast, it is immediately over. And it's not
joking.
Not kidding. Like that night, it's over.
That's what ends it.
Yeah. So there's something about having a woman on We Are Libertarians that is like...
It's crushing.
My tea is very high, except when I'm on the podcast doing the podcast for some reason. So
this is more of a hostage situation. I picked her up at the airport and didn't let her go home. We just came straight here.
Yeah, and you've put in plenty of good works in order to earn her to return the favor.
Yeah. I've got plenty of brownie points with Miss Potter.
He had to drive back and forth with her parents from Florida while she flew.
Atlanta, not Florida.
You flew. I drove down with my grandmother.
Yeah, well, she was totally separate from me the entire time.
And then I flew back.
Things are going well.
Separate cars, yes. They do very well.
Greg, do you remember the time that Jeremiah had to ride to Florida while his girlfriend flew first class?
And never happened.
Left him stranded?
He sprung this on me at his holiday party.
So here's the deal.
I was like, that's a commitment.
As a member of the We Are Libertarians family, I don't feel like I ever want to fly or make it known that I'm flying because bad things happen.
Oh, that's true.
I can attest to that.
I almost posted that I was flying this morning and was going to say, well, I hope my flight is a lot easier than Greg Lynn's flight to Orlando. But then I thought, if I say that, somebody's going to do something, so I didn't say anything
about it. They will. They're brutal. They think it's hilarious that you're a known terrorist.
I wouldn't. In my defense.
There's no defense. It was. Just stop now.
It was hilarious.
It is. It's a great story.
It is hilarious, yes.
The fact that I wasn't on, like, I didn't, like, get banned from flying, it's way better.
I wouldn't have done it to you. So you're.
I wasn't going to take my chances.
There are some people in the greater We Are Libertarian circle that would have done that to her.
Yes. Without a doubt.
Men, see, in the We Are Libertarians world, men, anything can happen. Okay. Jeremiah.
It's free game.
I would put NSA keywords on your flight. But your girlfriends are, they have special protection. It's like diplomatic immunity.
Donors have immunity on this show,
that's
too.
True.
Let's remember
he's
that.
Not just, he's a financier.
I'm a backer.
More than a guest.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Mr. Rent-to-Own over here.
You mean Indian Giver?
I open up chat last night. And so, you know, we had, we may sound different again because we're using the old microphones because of Jeremiah
Moore. Technically, we have to.
What's wrong with these tin cans?
We have to. And Jeremiah has been donating, you know, he's...
Well, in hindsight, it wasn't a donation.
It wasn't a donation.
In hindsight, we were basically holding money until he took it back.
It was a deposit.
Yeah.
So he gets in our chat last night.
I thought it was a club. You donate money to the club, and then when you need something, you get it back.
Absolutely not. We're not communists.
It's like group insurance.
No way. He gets in our chat last night, and he goes, you know, I'm a monthly donor, so I'm going to need the old board, all the microphones and mic cords that you can spare... Because I need to do Wall Jr. in Henry County.
I'm going
to
go out on an island, assemble a group of people with different ideas, and produce a show.
Well, you know, there is a franchise fee.
And launch. And I expect, as an early donor of Wall, that I will be receiving a portion of the fee.
He donates $7 a month because he's part of the Jeremiah Moral Pizza Society, and you can as well at WeAreLibertarians.com.
And except that yours is staying. This isn't, you know, it's not like a life insurance policy where you pay towards it and then get a draw out of it.
Right.
Later
you don't get to rent out our equipment.
It's like whole life.
Yeah. Not rent out equipment, take equipment. He wasn't asking to borrow.
Yeah.
He was demanding.
Demand hosting?
Right. So, he wants me to do all the work on
this. I told him it would require a $20 donation monthly. He'd have to up it.
Did I ask for him to be a producer? No, I said, I'll produce it myself, Spangle.
Now, see, that
I will create a show for you.
That is thoughtful.
I will let you syndicate it.
It is.
I will give you content. And then what we do is we trash the volunteers. That's just not the way to...
No, we demand quality on this network, okay? How much broadcasting experience do you have?
Well, I don't want to brag, but I spent 2 years as the voice of the Indiana Ranch Horse Association, Mr. Spangle. I have spent
Did you
more...
really?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I have received checks for my voice.
Well.
That's more than us. So.
Yeah.
That's not true. You were courtside at the Pacers game because of your voice.
Okay, I did get perk. I did get a perk.
Yeah, you get quite a few perks.
Greg gets nothing.
Well, she clearly doesn't have eyes for me.
Apparently not.
Nope. You weren't even in the running to go.
I didn't even know it was happening.
So, our great friend Christy Avery, who is the great news is that we are done acquiring equipment. So we have all the equipment we could ever need. So I've greatly scaled down our Amazon wish list to like three or four things. But
very high dollar.
But We're basically done at this point.
The next step probably is a 2-bedroom apartment and soundproofing for a room.
Basically, yeah.
Can you imagine how hard it would be to move all this stuff?
Oh,
we have room at We Are Libertarians East. We can dedicate one of my 4 or 5 bedrooms to a podcast studio.
I'm not going to be in the room that your crippled cat, you kept it in and didn't let it out.
There's been a tragedy.
Oh, no. You guys could use this spare bedroom with all the mirrors.
Did you have a cat go back?
That's right.
Oh, we could watch ourselves podcast. I'd never stop looking at me.
It's like Inception. We'll set them up and you'll just go on forever.
Now, So thanks to the wonderful people like Jason Doolittle and Christy Avery and our recent last gift from Christian J.M. Emmons, donated that brand new mic stand.
Oh, wow.
And a couple of SD cards. We're good to go. We're ready to rock. We've got backups of everything. So if something breaks, we can go back to some of the old stuff. We've got new stuff. It's great. So the equipment phase until we move into our brand new InfoWars like studio with many television screens behind us.
TriCaster,
a beautiful broadcast production facility coming.
A green screen to match your neon green outfit.
Coming in 2020. So we thank everybody who has donated equipment and bought off of our Amazon wish list to help us get to this point. I want to thank Phyllis Klosinski. She also donated recently. And all of you people who donate consistently and ask for nothing in return. And then there's Jeremiah Morrill, who
here, hold this $7 till I need it back.
Right. I'll take that in the form of a $200 board. Oh, by the way, I'll need some $100 microphones times 4 plus $40 cords while you're at it.
I'm just saying, I'm not even mad that you didn't chip in more toward the pizza now.
Yeah. You see what I'm dealing with here?
No, no. In hindsight, I apologize,
Sarah,
for being
make sure,
wrong.
On the way out, put some of the cords in your purse. He didn't give us cords. We need to take some with us.
No,
bring a person.
Any of the shiny ones.
So he knows better.
The reason it's called that is a long time. Jeremiah basically friend raped me, and it's not in like a sexual way, but he forced his time on me. He wanted to spend time with me, and I was having none of it.
He was having a down day, and I stopped by his house like any sane friend would do and said, come on, buddy. Let's get dinner.
Just pop in.
Unannounced.
You ever do a pop-in, Greg?
To me, that's an act of war.
It is. Aaron Ewart did a pop-in on Facebook Live.
Okay,
no
so
less.
let's start there. That's a good place to start, Spangle.
You pop in on me.
Aaron popped in because
let me finish the Pizza Society, okay?
Go ahead.
So you do a
let's
pop-in.
Let's talk about me.
And then he goes, by the way, I'm forcing my friendship and time on you, and we're going out to eat pizza, and you have to pay for your half. So I said, listen, I'll be honest with you. You can come out and we'll get pizza, but I've got $7 because tomorrow's payday. And he goes, ha, 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 ha. On the way there, I go.
Did you believe him or not?
I got $7.
I thought he
had more than $7.
A man of his stature, I figured he had more than $7. But
a line of credit he could extend?
But no. As it turned out, he had $7.
Only Bitcoin.
The problem with...
No, it was cash. This is pre-Bitcoin. We've been friends a very long time.
The problem with exaggerating and joking all of the time and being sarcastic half of the time is that no one ever believes you when you're serious. And so when the bill came, I handed him my $7 in cash, and he goes, what's this? I go, that's my money for the pizza. And he was offended.
I was offended that you gave me $7. At that point, it's just like, no, Jer.
Okay.
Just pay. It's fine.
Hand it back over.
I do every single month.
I want
every month.
Next time, 14. Doubling it.
Doubling it.
So, yes, the pop-in is an aggressive move. Nobody should do the pop-in.
No. That's like a phone call.
No. You text
phone calls
me.
Are for emergencies.
No, you phone call me. We are no longer friends. You know who phone calls me all the time? Jeremiah Morrill. All the time.
I'm an important businessman. I don't like to text and drive.
That's different. If you're driving, that's different.
I'll call.
Like my dad, Rupert, they get to call.
Family has an exemption. But.
Rex Bell, he gets to call. They're of a certain generation that we know they can't text.
They can remember the rotary.
Right. So, but Jeremiah Morrill, you send me a Facebook message like a goddamn human being.
I found the receipt. I'm going to put that in chat. You can publish it. The official receipt from that day.
No. So
have you guys ever gone on a date and you guys split the bill?
Not that I can remember.
Does he always pay?
Other than one time, I didn't let him pay.
There was one time I had to take a business phone call.
Oh.
And she stepped outside and she snagged it on me.
Oh, so she wants to pay. She's one of those women livers.
She wants to be empowered, but I won't let her be.
Are you a feminist?
Not really.
Yeah. So you and Jeremiah have been together how long?
6 months.
6 months. Let me turn your mic up just a little bit so we can hear the answer to this next question. When is he proposing? When are you guys getting hitched?
Whenever he feels like it.
How many kids do you want?
How many do I want?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Because we know that's how many kids you'll have.
I have no idea. I think I'm going to top out at 4, but with his family history, it might be more than that.
Well, whoa. He's very virile.
4 is about $1 million commitment in undergraduate education expenses.
That's exactly right. Jer's good
for it,
though.
Depends on if they go to community college.
JUCO kids.
Jer sells every piece of rebar between here and Omaha.
That's true.
So he
I don't know that we should mention that name.
He does very well.
Might want to edit that out.
I said rebar. I didn't say
no brand names.
Where he works.
All right.
So, yes. I tease my friend Jeremiah. I know I appreciate him caring about me. He's always he's looked after me these past 3 years as much as Greg has. Greg and Jeremiah both are wonderful friends to me. They look after me when I'm feeling depressed and acting like an idiot and getting divorced.
That was not acting like an idiot.
No, that was
in any way,
was,
shape, or form.
There was a comma in there. They're separate items. So
I was gonna say
No, that was a great decision.
Say smart move.
I plan to attend all of your weddings, Chris. I'm excited for you.
Not my decision, but a great decision nonetheless. And I'm happy for my ex-wife.
Those are the best kind of things that which were. I didn't even have to do anything, and I still win.
Yeah. Congratulations to my ex-wife and her new husband. I mean that in all seriousness. We've actually talked and we've become friendly over these last few months.
I saw that.
Yep, I
recently this week.
Yeah,
you repossessed a kitten.
I got a cat back. I gave one out that
kicked
I
kicked one to the curb.
I wasn't a
It wasn't a trade deal, was it?
No, it was a win-win-win in terms of cat diplomacy.
Or as Michael Scott would want, a win-win-win-win.
And the cats now, I'm no longer having to buy 8 pounds of cat pheromone a month.
It is, you are so much more calm, and it is, there's just something about the feng shui that is very calming.
Feng shui, very
feng shui.
Nice.
I don't know.
I did notice the additional litter box in here, though. We're up to 2 litter boxes in this home.
Because he was walking around snooping, that's why.
I took some pictures.
So.
You're like an Ewart.
I am.
Oh, you're worse than Ewart.
Oh,
Aaron
boy.
Would have made a selfie in front of.
That's true. I wasn't in any of the pictures I took.
Blue filter. Although Aaron did a pop in on break, so
that was really funny.
From December 15th to January 3rd, I had vacation, and I took at the end of the year, I take my hibernation, and we did episodes, and that was about my only social contact with anybody that first week, and I just disappear off the map for a few days and just relax and. I made a lot of fires. I enjoyed the television. I watched a lot of great TV, which we'll talk about in a moment.
Aaron had a reason to check up on you, though.
We weren't sure
if you had a pulse.
Because
you had died.
Yes. Mr. Ruiz
no.
used your own website to kill you.
Listen, we don't need to make a week-long death dedication on Facebook to every single D-list celebrity that dies. Okay, I know most of you listening.
Like Carrie Fisher.
I know most of you listening are nerds, so I'm going to give you Carrie Fisher. But the other one that's
her mom.
George. Debbie Reynolds was awesome. George Michael. Everyone in this audience is a millennial. None of you remember. If you're like me, I'm at the end of the millennial generation.
Some might even say generation.
I think you're the beginning of the millennial. You and I are the two oldest millennials on the face of the earth.
It's if you graduated high school around the turn of the little millennium, I was 02, so I qualify. You're 01. But George Michael had very little impact on the majority of the people in my social circle and in our generation, and you would have thought that Jesus Christ had passed. And that the greatest human being, like Prince, I get. Michael Jackson, I get. George Michael, you don't even remember Wham, okay? And it was a solid 2 days of my entire Facebook feed mourning George Michael. And I just have to think at some point, you're doing that for attention. You're not doing that because you were so moved by the Wake Me Up Before You Go.
Is that one of his songs?
Yeah. Yes. Wham. Like, his lyrics weren't that deep, fam. You know, like, it wasn't B.B. King, the pioneer of an entire genre. He was just a singer, okay? And he wasn't even popular for the last 25 years. So I just got irritated, and I said, I just made a post saying, cut it out. You were not moved by this man. I'm sure there were some people. There's one friend of mine in particular who is a Gen X gay male who finds George Michael to be a hero, and I totally understand that. But the rest of you, I don't think you've ever listened to his songs. Shut up. Shut up. And so Joe was very offended by this, apparently.
Because he was like fanboy number one for Prince, and he took your concern as direct hatred for the passing of Prince in 2016.
Well, he became a millennial and made it about himself, and I wasn't talking about Prince, and he loves Prince, and that's great. Like, Bruce Springsteen died, we know our buddy Rob Kendall would mourn him because he's had a personal impact on him.
I'm still not over the death of Chris LeDoux, so.
Right, exactly. I'm still mourning the loss of Garth Brooks' career. Okay, so
it's coming back. Randy Bernard's in charge.
Anyway. Oh, and Joe got very upset. So what did Joe do? Joe used Joe, and then Jeremiah used my own website, my own media outlet that I have built with my sweat and tears,
and my $7 a month,
and Greg's help, and killed me.
So the best part is Joe writes the satire article, and if you open it up and you read the article, it clearly says that you're not really dead.
Right.
But the headline says you're dead.
But people only read the headline.
And that's all that people need to know.
Right.
So then
clickbait.
So then the next day after because we saw Spangle.
That's my quiet neighbor upstairs.
Yeah. They're telling you
sounds
to shut
like
up.
She's getting ready for her shift.
Yeah.
Anyway, Spangle. I said, this is stupid. You guys shouldn't do this. And Spangle's like, no, share it. Everybody share it. I'm dead. All right. So the next day, it's still going on. So I said, to hell with it. I'm going to Facebook, and I'm reporting him as dead. And I'm going to link his own article. And they are remarkably efficient. Spangle was killed off within 2 hours with one link to his own website in a story that said, no, he's not really dead.
Yep. Fake news.
Killed him.
They're in charge of fake news. They used fake news to kill me in real life. Didn't even read the article. Just looked at the headline, Facebook.
And the greatest part is the email I got back from Facebook was signed by an employee at Facebook named Jesse.
So I got mad at Jesse Riddle, who killed you last year and did the same thing to you, causing you to have to start another
Facebook.
It
wasn't nearly as efficient of a process then, because they had just rolled out In Memorial. And so, like, I had a lot more hoops to jump through than you. You just had to, like, click some buttons.
Spangle had to do a selfie a couple of government-issued IDs.
Yep, because Facebook only trusts the government.
They wouldn't let you take a picture with today's newspaper or anything like that?
Their face ID algorithm beat the FBI's.
Really?
Head-to-head test. That's pretty incredible.
Imagine that. Private,
we did learn.
Private
that,
markets beating the government.
And this is if you don't want to lose your Facebook account, don't lie about your birth date on Facebook, because they compare your birth date on your Facebook account versus your government issued ID birth date.
For Amir, I had to Photoshop his driver's license to get him to match up because he had faked it.
Yeah. So my neighbor's real mad that we're podcasting.
Is that what it is?
But meanwhile, my neighbor yesterday was singing heavy metal very loudly, and I recorded all of it. So Jeremiah.
Is that why he's...
He's banging around now because I yelled.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. This is the guy who walked up to me at one point one day and goes, I'm the best kind of neighbor to have. I'm so quiet.
How new is this neighbor?
He's made so much noise every single day.
Just curious, how much does he weigh?
About 130.
He's vibroclad.
He was jumping hard.
He weighs like 310.
Yeah. He's real mad that I yelled. I don't give a shit.
Because we should order a pizza for him upstairs and have them expect to pay.
I'm also deaf now. So, like, I was at the fish shop yesterday trying to order some organic fresh fish.
Oh, the fish market.
Fish market, yeah. The fish store. I was at the fish store. And
PetSmart, what do you have in my size? Something that looks filling.
Give me 8,000 goldfish. And so I couldn't hear the fishmonger on the other side. I'm like, ah, I had my hand in my ear. I'm like, I couldn't hear this dude next to me asked me how he was going to prepare the tuna. And like, I had to literally put my ear on his mouth. I got kisses. It was great, but I can't hear anything.
Give me smooches.
So I think the neighbor hates me because I have a sound bar on my TV and I listen to it so loud and I don't realize how loud it is because I'm deaf. And then I kind of, when he bangs, I have to turn it down.
So that's the correlation. Because now he's dead silent.
Yeah, he's very angry.
Lens, are you supposed to be somewhere else right now?
Could be why.
You're being called No Show Lens in chat.
Oh, by
right
Rob?
Now. By Rob.
I saw that message. I'm not. I can only do tomorrow night.
Sorry, Rob. He can't make it today.
I left my phone.
For what?
I'm doing the Plainfield Basketball County Tournament.
Oh.
Because I could only do Friday.
Oh, okay. You're a basketball commentator now, eh?
He just needed to fill in.
You're a coach and a color guy.
I can sometimes help coach. Yeah. I don't know that I'm a color guy. We'll find out tomorrow night.
Oh, you're...
He's plenty of color. All the right colors.
No, all the wrong colors. Somebody made a meme of Harry that included the N-word and put it all over everyone's Facebook this
I
week.
Don't know what you're talking about. And a 10-foot pole is at least the distance I'm keeping from this one.
He thought that was appropriate.
It is, because I'm not saying it. Harry is in the meme. It's from the perspective of the person in the meme.
That's not quite what Harry's mom thought.
But Harry gets to say it because he has swag.
Harry's mom replied, ain't nobody owned my little boy but himself.
Crickets.
What do you say to that, Greg?
Crickets.
I can't help it that people are wrong. If I had to take, if I had to go around making sure that ever taking the blame for everyone else being wrong, then... I mean, I was trying to make Harry iconic. I was trying to make him a part of internet lore forever.
Well, you did.
I don't know why everyone got so mad. Joe got mad, and I'm like, my God, what a bunch of social justice warriors.
Well, next time, why don't you make sure you Photoshop his Perrier in there, too?
I know, right?
Like, that'd make it better.
I guess, but I didn't know that... M'lady, all it is the Ebonics version of M'lady. The fedora, that's what the meme is.
That's one way to, that's
no, that's
probably
what it,
the most,
that's what it is. It's that means,
possibly the most racially insensitive way to put
no,
that.
No, it's a meme on Instagram. It's the M'lady and then Ebonics. Right. It's like an actual meme. And then I just put Harry's face on the other one.
You just merged M'lady and and Harry in a fedora. And
well, everyone is very triggered and very sensitive.
3/5 of the room is uncomfortable.
Listen,
apparently, and for somebody else, mind you. So we are a group of millennials.
Listen, I am not upset. I'm worried for you.
Why?
Because people might actually think you're racist.
People think I'm racist all the time.
Well, that's true. I mean, we should take a poll. Is Greg racist?
No.
Of course he is.
Why do you say that?
Because he's Greg Lens, that's why.
Well, can't have a...
No, I'm sorry,
you
Sarah.
Can't separate the two.
He's Gregory Lens.
Gregory, that's right.
Greg
my
Lens.
Bad.
Greg Lens was racist.
Greg Lens was
racist
a terrible
at all.
Gregory's guy.
Not.
Gregory is...
I'm still waiting on a response from Greg Lens.
Have you added Greg Lens?
I did
I'll
a
go through
long
and add
time
you.
Ago.
I will.
I don't think Greg is racist. I think Greg is a product of our childhood growing up where racial humor was considered funny. And let's be honest.
It wasn't, because I didn't hear it at all.
Oh, so it's
taboo. I say it because
you.
I feel like if I didn't, I would be acting as though they couldn't handle it. And then they would actually be less than.
Right. Mm-hmm. But Harry's mom didn't handle it. She was very triggered.
That'll happen.
Joe,
most of the mothers don't like this.
No, my mom
doesn't like it. Your mom doesn't.
My mom hates
Harry's
Greg.
Mom's not a fan.
Yeah.
We are libertarians. It's not for moms.
It's not mom friendly. Approved.
Guess what? If I have to sacrifice my relationship with my mother to accumulate a few thousand fans, I will do it. Okay? Let's tie this all together. So, yes, Christy Avery and I had a great time. She invited me to sit courtside.
I'd be interested to see how he makes this connection.
So, well...
Yes.
My racism.
Tell us
the Pacer
about your
game.
Mommy problems, Chris.
Christy and I went to a Pacer game, and that was fun. I want to thank her. I want to thank Phyllis. I want to thank Christian Emmons. I want to thank Jeremiah and Sarah for being donors. I want to thank Greg for
supporting
not
you,
posting that photo of me in blackface that he's made. I want to thank Greg and Jeremiah for supporting me. And Aaron checked up on me the day after I died and did a Facebook Live. He did a pop-in and took about 5 minutes to get me to open the door. And then he had the nerve to come in here and mock my hair and how crazy it was and how messy my apartment was and my fire.
You were laying in the fire. It was a plea for help, and thank God he came by when he did.
It wasn't a plea for help. It was a plea for everyone to leave me the fuck alone.
He was trying to bring you firewood.
You shouldn't have done that, because what triggered is you did that, and then you took the picture of the fire and then put the like highlights around it and said, my only true friend. And so that's when I was like, oh, maybe we should check on him.
Oh, yeah. The best was my security system, where I didn't answer the door. I just put my phone around the corner, and then all you see is my hand, my fat fingers, my hand. I'm trying to get skinny. I'm back on the diet. I've had kale every night this week.
What animal is kale made from, Chris?
God's favorite animal, plants. I've had plenty of meat, okay? I'm not one of those vegan vegetarian people, but...
Is kale the same as seaweed?
No. Kale is grown in like Michigan and Indiana in the wintertime. I mean, it's a very hardy plant. It's like
lettuce.
Like lettuce, but it's
more nutrient
like
rich.
Very. And
do you have a
protein.
Kale planter that you drag out on your patio in the summertime?
No. I can't have plants. Mittens eats them. Mittens. She's on the healthy kick too. I brought the groceries home yesterday. She ate 2 leaves of spinach. I'm really hoping that's okay for cats.
Are you getting her some catnip?
Oh, they get catnip in their litter because it soothes their tummy.
Wait,
this is complicated.
No, it's very confused.
The room.
Listen,
you train them to eat stuff out of their litter box? I thought that's what dogs did.
No.
I put catnip
in their food because it soothes their stomach.
Okay,
you can put catnip in their litter box to attract them to the litter box.
Gotcha.
I do have some
carrot and stick type thing.
Right. So, but if your cat is throwing up a lot and having problems with hairballs, then you put some catnip in their food.
In their food, not in their litter.
No,
you don't put the catnip in their litter to smooth their stomach. You put it in their food.
Exactly.
At 17 after the hour, we'll have your next crazy cat tip.
And if you've got, you know what, we're going to just go ahead and turn his mic off. So if you want to, in the wintertime, they get dry too. You know, they get the ashy elbows like some of us. And you put a little bit of olive oil or canola oil on top of their food, and that helps keep their skin moist. So I don't know where Jeremiah is going. He's in my kitchen.
He needs some water.
He's getting water. Okay. People come over to my house, and we only have water to drink.
Yeah. Sometimes you have beer, unless Aaron drinks it all.
I know. Well, people leave it here. So.
Soy sauce.
There's soy sauce. There's that's pretty much it. I really only drink water.
Yeah.
No milk.
How much water do you drink, Sarah?
In a day?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
If you listen to the podcast, you know I'm lactose intolerant.
Oh, duh. I should know that.
Yeah. It's okay. Tyler Weiss comes, or Ted Weston comes on all the time and buys him Edie's for Christmas.
On the Jeff Hibbert Christmas episode, which I think is in our feed, he bought everybody Christmas presents, which is booze. Since I don't drink, he got me ice cream.
And but you don't do lactose.
I'm lactose intolerant.
He felt pretty bad.
Yeah.
But then when Spangle got him porn he didn't pay for, he didn't feel as bad.
What about almond milk? Would you do that?
Soy milk.
Soy milk?
No. I know soy.
Don't do soy. Too much estrogen.
Yep. Soy is bad for you. Low T. Gives you low T. Too much estrogen.
Let's not talk about soy badly. The soy lobby is going to come after you. And those farmers are not to be messed with.
No, I have flax milk.
They don't have nearly the lobby. The flaxseed folks.
No. Flax seed milk. Almond, protein added, delicious in smoothies.
You can just drink eggnog. That's made from chicken eggs.
I do actually have some eggnog in there. It's probably bad, though.
It's from Thanksgiving.
What is it? What's it? What was the shot that we came up with at your holiday party?
Oh, okay, it had fish tank
it
water.
It was eggnog and fish tank water.
And I think
water.
Rum.
Gross. What was it called? It was called the... Oh, man, that was so funny.
It was a rough night.
It was a Tad Western...
It was a Tad Western cocktail.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had a Christmas party that Spangle hosted.
Co-hosted.
He co-hosted. I provided the house, and Spangle was going to provide... It was more like a celebrity kind of deal where he was going to co-host it.
Mm-hmm.
And
he was the
what
Kim
time
Kardashian.
Did he get there, Greg?
Jeremiah was trading on my name.
What time did the co-host arrive?
You know, I was up pretty late. and I don't ever remember him being there.
Greg was there all night. You were there the entire time.
The next morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did then he show
up
late?
I heard Tad Western getting into your fish tank at 4. He was on Bumble and was up, kind of just dicking around. And the next thing I heard was, doom, doom. We give had, me a fishy, fishy.
About a week later, we were down a fish, too. There was a fatality.
But like he actually got in there. And I hear, doom, doom.
Up to the elbows.
He goes, come here, fishy, fishy. And I was like, oh my, I'm just going to sleep this thing off.
He is really something, man. He was genuinely irritating me last episode. I was so mad, and he knew I was mad, and so he kept doing it just to irritate
he
me.
He does anything to please you, Chris. He changed his name because you couldn't decide how to pronounce it, so he said, the hell with it, I'm Tad Western.
He changed his name because he got drunk and couldn't figure out how to change it back. But it was so funny because last episode, right before, I was saying, you know, we made some house rules. And one of the rules is don't get too drunk to podcast, parentheses, Tyler. And I said, you know, since we made that rule, I don't know if that like woke you up or something, but I haven't seen you drunk in a year. And he goes, I've been doing well. He was, at that point, little did I know, very drunk already. Because he thought that last episode was going to be a legitimate We Are Libertarians party. There'd be 20 people here, and we weren't going to podcast. So he had been at the Stacked Pickle.
Pre-gaming.
He said I had already had 3 beers and like some shots. So by the time he drunk drove over to my house.
Spangle, 3 beers is nothing.
Well, not to Tad Western. He drinks Bell's Two Hearted. Which
yeah, I got him that for Christmas, and like he pounded 2 real quick. And then he had a fireball airplane shot that he had cracked the bottom of it was cracked, so it would leak out. So instead he just carried it upside down.
Yeah.
And then drained it after Spangle told him to quit drinking.
He was very irritating.
I think he got the memo.
No, he kept a little bit, but he kept doing it just because he enjoyed it.
Well, yeah, it was a wonderful party that Spangle missed.
He was like invited his brother. His brother couldn't make it. He legitimately thought it was going to be a party. But your party, I was sick for. It was the first night of vacation, and I had been really sick. I got sick 3 times on vacation.
You know, so I was a campaign manager for a fellow named Rex Bell,
mm-hmm.
ran for governor of Indiana.
Yep.
And he had a stroke about a week before the election, and he's recovering well. But he was at the party.
He was. Got to see Rex.
And Chris said, I'm too sick. I can't make it.
I just commented. I said, listen, my sinuses are too tender. I can't make the party. I've got an infection. I've got to stay home. And Rex responded,
I had a stroke and I'll be there.
I can't argue with you, Rex.
That is why Rex is the greatest troll. Greatest man in the history of
He's
the
an
world.
Offline troll.
You guys have been one more superfluous topic. I mean, we're like 40 minutes in and we haven't talked about anything. But I just don't feel like it.
Hey, this is what you get. It's January, the Christmas right. hangover.
You guys have been watching The Man in the High Castle.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had that 12 hours in the car.
Right.
On the way back from the New Year's party.
Well, Sarah riding, flew
riding
back.
With Sarah. Well, she flew back first
I
class
just
today.
Flew back today. Not first she class.
Ha- so right. I had to, she I had had to watch a Man private in jet. Castle.
Right.
She, first class Delta. That's the way Sarah goes.
Ooh. Not even first class Southwest.
No.
Cool. First business class.
Yeah. So it is economy Delta, priority. Just to clarify. Economy Delta. I
middle
was
row.
In the middle seat
that way you had
both times.
On oh, Lord. Anyway, the
emergency row, the way to Indianapolis.
Tell me more about your 24-minute ride from Florida to Indiana.
But The Man in the High Castle is based on a Philip Dick novel where the Nazis and the Japanese win the war and beat the Allies. And it imagines in the late 50s, early 60s, the world where they are in charge. And the series takes place over a period of like a month. And it involves, you know, the Western Empire with the Japanese and the Eastern Reich in America. And there's a neutral zone. And there's this man in the high castle that has all these films. And the films are like actual history that freaks everybody out. And like, it's really interesting and really well done. And it's the first season I thought was better than the second season. The second season in the middle drags a little, but the payoff in the last episode of the second season, one of the greatest episodes of a TV show I've ever seen in my life.
I've been binging in the last week. I watched the first season, and now I'm about halfway through the second season. And it really is fantastic, especially for somebody like Greg. I really can't believe Greg hasn't seen it yet.
You know, I've never checked out any of the Amazon
originals.
Yeah, the originals, and like I'm looking forward to it.
You'd like Alpha
it's
House
a really
too?
Good would one.
I? Yeah, Alpha House is also very good. That one they didn't Alpha House. They only did a couple of seasons, and it kind of ends abruptly. They've never brought it back.
Yeah,
but this is going to give you more backstory and alternative as to what it would have been like if the Nazis. It's the Nazis. In New York City, that's the way of life.
Yeah,
and there are a lot of Americans.
So like the Trump transition.
A lot of Americans that fought in the war that just assimilated in, and now they're Nazis.
It's a fascinating look at people just accepting totalitarianism and not questioning it and living with their own misery, like
just keeping their heads down and suffering through and not
docile.
Speaking up.
Yeah,
and not resisting. And that's the. And then there's a couple of folks that finally do get a taste of it, and then. Once they see what it's like and what the empowerment or the freedom that comes from fighting back, especially against the Japanese, where you see most of the resistance in the show,
which is odd because the Japanese seem to have a lesser quality of life, but they have a looser network of totalitarianism than the Nazi regime, which is all very bright and happy and everybody's very clean and. You know, there's mass
blonde and blue-eyed
mass extermination takes place in America.
In the first episode, this doesn't get much of a giveaway, but there's this ash that's coming down from the sky,
right?
And there's this fellow that hadn't really been outside the city, and he's talking to a local police officer, and the police officer says, "Oh yeah, the people that are a drag on society or whatever, they burn them on Tuesdays, and that's all that is. Don't worry about it. Carry on."
Yep. I fought in the war. I barely even remember what we were fighting for. It's a really interesting look at. And an alternative society, and it really shows you, like, watching it for me showed that we're really not that far off from, like, if you look at Nazi Germany, and if you've read the book In the Garden of Beasts by Eric Larson, which is about the American ambassador who was in Germany during the beginning of the Nazi Reich, I'm about halfway through it, it's a great book. But it just shows, you know, everybody, they just don't really pay attention to the nasty parts of society, you know, and
we already do that here.
Exactly right. And that's
like East Chicago. Like that's basically, you know, an ungoverned area on Friday nights. Not kidding.
If it
doesn't matter, like, you know, no one's aware of it.
Right. If you go and you listen to episode 91, episode 144, episode 160 and 162, I believe, of the podcast, you hear those same tendencies. People don't want to talk about how DCS causes more child rape and more child abuse than if we didn't have DCS involved. We don't want to hear about how prison dehumanizes and our criminal justice system dehumanizes an entire population of society. We don't want to hear, you know, if you go back to Smoke 'Em, If You Got 'Em, an early episode in 15, 16, we don't really want to hear about the business owner that's having their entire business eradicated because of special interests. We don't want to hear about Woody's daughter who died. You know, we just don't want to hear those ugly things. We don't want to deal with it. And
well, a lot of it's what can I do? You know what I mean?
Is somebody, you know,
the amount of effort it would take to get involved, get up to speed, and then try to make any sort of difference feels like a lifetime wasted.
Right. So it just shows you these are regular people, regular Americans who just accept a lesser way of life. They accept less freedom for a steady income. They don't really care about a loss of freedom. And as a libertarian, I think watching that show, it had to be written by a libertarian. And an Alex Jones listener specifically, because you look at it and you go, this is exactly like what the globalist, you know, the idea, this is the logical extension of eugenics, of a one world government, of achieving a perfected society, you know.
Progressivism.
At one point, there's discussion of nuclear war and... You know, the
DC was wiped off the map in this.
You
know, prior to this, DC was destroyed and it's gone.
Right. And so at one point they're talking about nuclear war. Like, it'll kill, you know, this will be the last war ever. We're going to kill 15 million people, but, you know, it'll be the last one. And yeah, we're going to nuke all these countries, all these cities across the world. But we will finally get to achieve the perfect society. And it just reminded me so much of the ideologies that we deal with. We think that we can use government to achieve a perfect society, and you just can't. You can't, if you're a Christian conservative, you can't use the force of government to force other people to believe in what you believe. You can't force other people to become Christians through the force of government. That's completely opposite of what a Christian ideology means. I mean, it's about accepting things in your individual heart. Christianity is individual, just like government policy should be. Yeah, she's not going to have it. You probably should just stop touching her because she's going to kill you.
Oh.
Hey.
Oh.
Hey.
Get down. To narrate for those listening at home, Spangle's cat is trying to kill my girlfriend.
I'm really just trying not to get sued.
Taking bites out of her now.
There you go. Just throw her on the ground.
There you go.
And
she just grabbed the pussy.
and from a progressive point of view, you cannot use government welfare to keep people secure. Because all it does is it creates dependence, and a lazy, dependent person, excuse me, who has no dignity, you know. And so people have to think and fight for themselves. And what you see throughout this series is something that we see. And
so they even get into the details like that?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The structure of the society has like a welfare state and that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah.
If you're in the Reich, if you're not contributing... You're in Tuesday's fire.
So this is sort of like
it's very
an alternative
severe.
View of the moochers in like Atlas Shrugged. Like,
yeah.
And like Ayn Rand says, well, we're just going to get away from them. Like this takes it to the point of we're going to eliminate them.
Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah. Anybody with MS, anybody with
even
degenerative disease.
If you are sick in any way or showing signs of terminal illness, no matter who you are, you're gone.
You're gone.
It's done.
It doesn't, you know,
physically removed. So
you are going to be exterminated,
which is funny because they touch on his Parkinson's. They touch on Hitler's Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's an elderly Hitler in the 60s at this point. But you see throughout this series something that we've been talking a lot about on our podcast. There in the show is a restlessness of the human spirit, a seething anger and resentment towards authority, a want of freedom, a want of independence, a want of
it's the whole thing is sadness, right? The colors are sad. The opening music sets the tone.
It's not a happy show.
Yeah.
So
don't watch this if you're depressed. The only thing that's sunny at all is the Nazis. They're all up and happy. And but if anything that's in the neutral zone or in the Japanese area. Very somber. There's no laughter.
Right.
It's just, it's all...
Is it coming toward, like, is the point of the show, like, to sort of set up, like, a revolutionary resistance?
It's going that way.
They're trying.
But by the end of the second season, the very tops of these systems are themselves revolutionary. People within these closed societies, at the very tops of power... start working against other factions who are anti-power. So you end up with something like, let's take a CIA, okay? Mm-hmm. In a previous episode, we talked about the CIA and how they're trying to taint the Trump presidency and the Trump election and really do to us what we do to third world countries, which is delegitimize the power of a president that isn't in the interest of the CIA, which is a globalist ideology. It is a one world UN type ideology.
World peace is what they're striving for.
Somebody,
they just go through it. The wrong mediums.
Exactly. Somebody like a Hillary Clinton, Paul Wolfowitz, George Soros type of Council on Foreign Relations system where they believe in growing the world government and the power of our superpower at the expense of third world nations, at the expense of even
any sovereignty for any
even American citizen sovereignty. And you see in the FBI, the CIA, the NSA with people like Snowden saying, no, there's something wrong here. We need to do something about this. And you see them act that out. And there's a lot of parallels in the show between what is happening now, because when you look at So I was watching this documentary called Pure Plant Nation, I think it was. It was about this the China study, and it's a food documentary. And this guy believes in a vegetarian, vegan, all plant-based diet, okay? And they wrote this study that I guess some friends have
told me is
flawed.
They made a documentary in China about Brett Bittner?
Yeah. but they go to Kentucky, and they have all these studies, all this information, pilot programs in North Carolina, and there's this one legislator in Kentucky who followed this program and, like, lost a ton of weight, got super healthy. Like, you know, whether you're...
This is legislator Kim Davis?
Yeah. No.
Sounds like it.
I think everybody knows eating vegetables is good for you, right?
Yeah, it's not like it's a big secret we haven't discovered right. that, you know.
Mrs. Omama told us that right. we're supposed to eat our vegetables.
People argue over whether, like, should I be vegetarian, vegan, or should I be paleo? But, like,
it's better than a pure McDonald's diet regardless.
Exactly so, right. Yeah. Everybody at this point is starting to realize that, the hormones that we inject cows with, I know that out in Henry County, you've talked a lot about CAFOs, which are what?
Confined animal feeding operations. It's how we create protein, Spangle.
Yeah.
Because no farms, no food, man. You got to have food.
But
except the assembly line version of breeding the meat supply.
That's the way that we feed the billions of people on this earth. Yeah. You don't
meat demand.
Unfortunately, folks, and then this is going to be somewhat controversial to a handful of folks out there, but we all want to eat, and the idealistic hogs in a countryside doesn't exist. We try to convert protein into meat as quickly and efficiently as we can. Mm-hmm. And we've gone to essentially a factory farming operation. Mm-hmm. But that's how we do. We do that with poultry. We do that with hogs. We do that with beef. We do that with dairy.
And any commodity.
That's what the agriculture business is now. Mm-hmm. And it's at a large scale.
And the majority...
Until the market shifts and there's demand for, you know, wild raised.
The majority of the plant-based food that we grow in this country on those factory farms are corn... Soybeans, what else? Sorghum's not that big, but
no, but it's, I mean,
it's mostly food to feed the meat.
In this part of the country, corn and soy are very big, and then you will see some
rice.
Other, yeah, not rice in
not
the Midwest,
rice.
But
not
yeah,
rice here, but rice.
Yeah, we'll
is a big
grow.
Industry.
You know, you see rice or tomatoes or you know some of those other items. I'm more familiar with the ag in the Midwest, obviously, and those are our main products. But if you go to the American Southwest or into Mexico, you know, we're growing fruit and vegetables.
Being a 4-H legend,
the next logical step's to remove any of that, the feeding process at all, and just to do pure genetic cloning.
So what this documentary...
You know what I mean? Like, that's... Right. Ideally, they'd do that right now if it were possible.
Absolutely.
And I mean, they're affordable.
They're right. always, the, you know, research universities like Purdue or Ohio State or Michigan State or Iowa... are always making strides, trying to take the productivity of an acre of ground
mm-hmm.
and find a way to make the most for a farmer and to produce what's going to feed us.
Yeah, it's like if we didn't do genetic modification, you know, if you did all non-GMO, you would have to have all of Europe and South America be farmland in order to meet the same level of demand right now.
I'm okay with that.
Realize that corn is not a natural... Corn mm-hmm. didn't exist.
Right.
We've developed corn.
Right.
Which, you know, we use for...
gas.
Well,
everything.
We use corn and darn near everything.
I genuinely don't believe that that's a healthy diet for people. I mean, I think if you look at the modern diet, which is mostly meat and corn and meat fed on corn, and you look at obesity rates, we're all a bunch of unhealthy people. You know,
I don't know. But, John Daly, his freshman year at Arkansas, lost 65 pounds eating popcorn and Jack Daniels.
Well, the cocaine might have helped. But this documentary talks about how people should eat more plants. Like, if you think about the diet of most Americans, including myself at many times in my life, it's never anything green. You know, and so what they do is they go to this legislator really believes in a vegetarian plant-based diet. And he tries to pass a resolution, just a statement from the assembly,
a proclamation
saying a plant-based diet is good for you, because what that would do is it's a fact-finding statement, and it would allow Kentucky to set up some pilot programs to start, you know, allowing more incentives for plant-based foods to come in. Okay,
do you support this or not?
From a purely libertarian standpoint, no, I don't support the government doing this. But at the same time, I also don't support the other end of what happened in this documentary, which is instead of passing a resolution that said, hey, Kentucky's down with vegetables, it got voted down 44-33. Even after this legislator had gone and talked to 80 of the 100 representatives, given them this book and talked about how this has worked and shown them all this data, the resolution is basically a plant-based diet
of
mostly vegetables is good for you. And they voted it down because of ag lobbyists. Mm-hmm. And so if you look at something like hemp, for instance, if you look at what's happened in this country with hemp, hemp is a very strong plant. It's a very hardy plant. It's something that would excel in Indiana. You can grow it very easily.
At the Jamestown colony, you had to grow it. They forced you to grow it.
The Constitution was written on hemp paper.
Well, and there's so many uses for it that I wasn't aware of until I started doing research about it.
Yeah. It's an incredibly strong substance. Mm-hmm. And so what happened is in the 1930s, this device was developed that would allow hemp, which can have two or three harvests a year, depending on where you're at. Mm-hmm. It allowed them to shred apart the hemp and make fiber. And like Henry Ford, his first car was made out of hemp. And it's not pot. It doesn't have any mental aspects to it. It doesn't have the THC. It's just a plant that looks like pot. But William Randolph Hearst, who had large paper interest, who ran a lot of newspapers, combined with the cotton industry, because all the African-American workers were working on hemp farms, but, you know, hemp shirts and cotton shirts.
It was protectionism.
It's mm-hmm. easier to split apart and use cotton as opposed to hemp. And so legislators across the nation, including the Congress, then outlawed hemp at the behest of lobbyists for the cotton and the paper industry. Mm-hmm. In modern America, across the country, you've got dairy, and they show like all the lobbyists who come out of the woodwork from the various ag businesses. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with meat or dairy or eggs or any of that stuff, but when one of those interests has downplayed something as common sense as eating spinach.
Yeah, when they are actively spending money to, you know, basically prevent a non-binding resolution by a state government that we know that vegetables are good for you, which everybody already knows anyway.
I would have voted no. Why do we have to? They're wasting our time.
Yeah, waste of tax dollars.
Yeah. Why do we have to have this conversation?
He sold out to Big KFO.
We're voting no. The vote is no.
So
it's no. I mean, it is interesting. Like, but I forget where we're going with it.
But then at the same time, Jeremiah, we're all fat and sick.
Sure.
And we've got a very thriving medical economy that's very expensive and making a lot of people a lot of money. So it doesn't, it's, there's.
But you know, without having the state legislature in Kentucky pass a bill or a resolution that you'll never hear of, that vegetables are good for you. You don't need to waste the time and
absolutely
do that in the legislature. So vote no.
The absurdity of it is that lobbyists would come out of the woodwork for something so
innocuous.
Yeah, innocuous anyway. But at the end of the day, it's stupid for the legislature should even take up such a proclamation.
That said, my next park board meeting will probably vote on it Monday.
So
just to say that we think vegetables are good.
So like just as I'm looking at The Man in the High Castle and I'm watching this, I'm just sitting here going along with a lot of Alex Jones over the past 2 months. I just sit there and I go, you know what?
This is a toxic
concoction.
It is.
Totally.
Alex Jones documentaries, alone time.
I'm going to be on Super Male Vitality within 2 weeks.
It's 30% off right now.
Where are your pill bottles, my friend? Where are they at?
They're over there. I'm heavily vitamined.
If Alex Jones ever comes out with a nasal spray.
Shit. All natural. God. I might develop it for him. There is one. It's called Capsaicin. It's like.
But not Alex Jones.
No, but it's Capsaicin.
I only
just
buy
peppers.
Alex Jones. Everything else.
Have you used the toothpaste?
Oh, God, yeah.
How do you like it?
End up going back.
They're looking pretty pearly, though.
I went back to the baking, like the Arm & Hammer one. That's the one.
Do you make
like
your
most
own?
I am not your regular libertarian.
See,
I support big business.
He
lobbying,
has a fluoride extractor.
Animal farming. Because if we had animal farming, we'd have, no endangered species.
So I'm
Think about it. If we farmed lions, we'd have tons of them. They just wouldn't be.
It's exactly
are,
right.
Are like, we running short on lions? I know we're short on. Or I mean, on gorillas, or like but owls, not on.
If we, you know, if we endangered species, let's do little to actually increase the number of them. You know, occasionally there's the rare success, but like if there, there's the industrial farming.
There's just no doubt that
whatever you'd create way more, but it wouldn't be as.
If we had a demand for lion meat, we would have plenty.
Right.
Yeah. Of course,
I'm sure it's lean. Spangle would never try.
But you'd never
it
be allowed to industrially
cat.
Raise oh. industrially raise lions.
Mittens would be so hurt. No, like it,
Mittens would dine on a lion steak with you.
Oh yeah.
If like I get pasture raised eggs. Okay.
Time out. The
kind that just hang out in the field.
Free range chicken.
Not free range because those are that's not actual like
cage free.
Cage free pasture raised walking around in the grass eggs.
Do they come with little pictures of the pastures? And the chicken
they do.
Bread?
They do.
Do they tell you the name of the chicken who laid the eggs?
No.
Aw.
But they.
How can you be sure it's real?
Because you can taste the grass and the eggs.
That's sick.
Like just like unpasteurized milk.
It tastes. I don't know that they're pasteurized. I haven't looked. They're in the fridge.
You really do.
I really do. They taste so much better.
Really?
Sarah, go get the props.
They taste a ton better than the $1.99 egg you get off the shelf. They have more natural nutrition to them. Like, but if everybody were willing to spend the money to get those eggs, then we'd have.
Can I get you a gift in the spring?
No, you're not getting me a chicken.
Getting you, oh yeah, they come in pairs.
Oh, get you a chicken.
A pair of pullets. We'll
see, they're
on
multicolored
the...
eggs.
They are multicolored wow. eggs.
Those are brown eggs.
Well, there's some that are lighter than the others. It's not like your eggs where they're all the same.
It's a multicultural egg.
So the eggs that Spangle is going with are Handsome Brook Farms, yep. No antibiotics, grade A, pasture raised.
Yep.
From Franklin, New York, which I believe is near Syracuse.
Yep. And I get it at Fresh Time. They're
I
very
think there's
good.
Like three different farms on the back.
They're
actually.
Distributed by Handsome Brook Roads. Handsome Brook Farm in Franklin, New York, packed in New Holland, Pennsylvania.
Oh, I think that's a little more detail than we need.
These are a farce, my friend.
No. Mm-hmm. Nope. You can
they've passed through four states. Those are not local eggs.
If I could find a local egg dealer, I would.
I know one.
I've got five in my phone.
Help me up, bro.
All right.
Yeah.
I got egg
I know
people.
One right up off Highway, Highway 5 in Warren, Indiana.
Two or three dozen a week. Hook me up.
You're eating three dozen eggs a week?
Absolutely.
No way.
Absolutely.
Are you Souffle Bob over here? What are you making with three dozen eggs a week?
Hard-boiled eggs, scrambled eggs in the morning.
You like eggs that much?
I love eggs.
He has two dozen in the fridge right now.
Does he?
And yeah. I've got half a dozen that are hard-boiled in the sink right now.
Man, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Eggs are like, yeah.
That's high maintenance.
I love them. I'm very high maintenance.
I had five eggs last night, but that is a lot of work.
That's it?
Just five
and some bacon.
Did you drink them? Like a real
no, man. I didn't.
Like Gaston on Beauty and the Beast.
That's right. Like Rocky.
That was like whenever I was growing up, that was my big Disney crush was Gaston. So
in
this
Beauty
is like
Beast?
A dream.
I'm her
so,
Gaston.
This is a dream
so
right
my
now.
My final point.
Did he take a road trip with her family?
Mine.
She just left him? Like
no,
the help?
Nah.
The help.
You get a ride along in the back car.
She did take me to Georgia.
Like Pauly Shore and Son-in-Law, and he has to sit
we
in the back of the
that.
Truck.
That was a great date movie.
I love that movie. It's my Crawl. Favorite. My favorite Thanksgiving movie. But my point is that anything that seems to be good for human beings, the government is against. It's like everything is when you look at Hillary Clinton's policies. It's just more degradation of human beings, more war, more people dying. Like,
but I mean, they're against like global warming and like you know. They would, you know, the President Obama just made it so you can't drill in Antarctica and protected arguably the world's, you know, the most marine marine sanctuary of any president.
How does that directly? Okay, I'm not a global warming denier.
Mm-hmm.
The polar ice caps are melting.
I know you're not because it's 62 degrees in your apartment right now.
Of course, but the left more than any other, more than the right or libertarians. Directly financially benefit from the carbon tax, from any kind of quote unquote pro environmental.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't have that. But I mean, like as far as conservation goes, or you know, the Democrats are. I don't think there's a Democrat or a Republican that would dedicate a lot of time to trying to prevent organic products being offered in the store. Do you? I mean,
I absolutely do.
The federal government just went through a big labeling thing.
I mean, they
for,
do the,
for organic.
Yeah, they do consumer protection.
There were no standards, and I think one state, I think Vermont, had gone through and came up with standards that were going to be oppressive for every other state. So they tried to get in and play middleman.
Yeah. Right,
and of course, the second the Congress passes organic standards, you know what it will be? It will be standards that are bent towards moving the organic label to Kraft Foods.
Yeah.
And then it won't be actually organic food anymore. And most organic food in and of itself, you've really got to do your research on it and figure out where the food's coming from, because it is. A lot of it is a farce. Like, you just because the let's say you get organic beef, okay? That just means that the food that the cow eats wasn't sprayed with pesticides. But that doesn't mean that it wasn't fed a bunch of bullcrap. Largely, my point is modern liberalism doesn't offer much in the way of actually helping human beings in a way that helps them. It protects the status quo. It's almost become the new conservatism. And by and large, in our generation, liberalism is all about racial division. It doesn't actually improve the lives of human beings. It makes us fight with each other more, and it makes us pay more taxes, and it keeps people like Amanda in a situation where her daughter is in an awful, unspeakable situation, or a situation like Woody where his daughter goes to jail and she gets 16 years for 3 pills while Amanda's husband gets 23 days in jail for neglecting a child. Like, modern liberalism has completely failed, and it doesn't offer us anything in the way that actually brings humanity to a better place. And you see the full extension of a progressive governmental approach to our problems as a society in The Man in the High Castle, where you have an overarching government that is your daddy and takes care of you, but also we're going to throw you in the oven the second you have a disease that doesn't have a cure. I mean, I just don't see anything. Modern liberalism leads to 14s trapping a handicapped white man and Facebook living his beating because Trump is the president.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it removes the humanity in each of us to the point that we will all go...
Well, it's justified because he's a racist, because he likes Trump. Are you admitting that's the mindset of...
But he's mentally handicapped, and they don't see the humanity of this man, and they beat him and degrade him and put him on Facebook Live, and then nobody says it's a hate crime. Because God forbid, you know, four black teens beating up a white person because he supports a white politician, that's not racially motivated. Those are just kids being kids, according to the Chicago Police Department. But if it had been four white kids and a black dude,
it'd be a lynch mob.
It'd be a lynch mob, you know. And that is the end result of the liberal movement of the last 25 years.
Oh, and it's been going on long. I mean, if you want to go all the way back, you're looking at, you know, Once Stalin had Trotsky killed, you saw Marxism take a radical change because you saw like Fidel Castro, and the idea was that the global workers, it wouldn't be seen through nation states. It'd be seen as workers versus producers. And so there'd be this rising up of the proletariat, and they'd take over the means of production. That never happened because people still define themselves through the state they're in, or their families or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it became a slow boil. So they created Fabian socialism, and it was all the people that were in Russia that watched the Soviet Union fail and then decided we need to change tactics. And so they created the Fabian Society, and the Fabian Society was the slow, systemic implementation of like cultural Marxism, getting rid of genders, getting rid of the traditional cultural norms, getting rid of seeing the family unit as the main influence in your life, how you define yourself. And they slowly but surely pushed for it, create a welfare state, you know, continually push the labor unions.
This get rid of religion and state, the state.
Right. Secularization,
right.
And create dependency, and then overload the system. And then by overloading the system, you create mass outrage, and then the workers take over, you know, the masses take over. And it has been all right in front of everyone. In fact, the National Review, somebody just wrote a great article about it today. And that's what there's a rejection of currently,
mm-hmm.
or there seems to be, because the fact that they touched the normal cultural things like, you know, it's always the white male to blame and all these things, mm-hmm. it created a backlash they didn't anticipate throughout all of Europe. And so this is something that's been going on a very long time, is like, you know, Marx's ideas still exist today, and they exist in this framework through Fabian socialism. It's slow, systemic, bit by bit.
Right.
You know, and that's what that movie's really about, or the show sounds like it's really about.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, eventually
they eradicate
the need for independence and the need for freedom and, you know, self-determination.
Well, they've erased much of history, and they've erased all religion as well. There are no Bibles. And there's one scene where there's one Jewish family that still practices, and they kind of give you a view into that. But yeah, they've taken any hope out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep your head down and you do what the state says.
You're marching towards perfection.
And how far away from that are we if we're not living there already? At what, you know, when I was in high school in 1998, I went on a ride along for a career day with a police officer, and I wanted to be a police officer. And towards the end of the day, I go, let me ask you a question. You see a guy walking down the street. Can you just pull over, arrest him, and charge him with whatever you want? And he goes, there's enough laws that I can make something fit.
They can get you on literally anything.
Literally anything. Like, there's a million ways to be a felon in this society, you know, and
I don't know that we're there yet. I wouldn't say that.
No, I mean, we're not in a totalitarian state because we can have this podcast.
Right. And like, I don't know that human societies, you know, they get upset when anyone tries to influence their life too much. Like, you know, they don't like it when, God, what?
People are mad that Kim Kardashian has too much influence over the life.
But people were pissed about light bulbs. Like, do you remember that? Like, that, you know, like, yeah. we're petty.
You're hoarding your incandescents.
Like, we don't get pissed off about having to join a socialist healthcare system that there's no undoing. But by God, you take away the light bulbs, and we're going to write our congressman and start a lobby.
You raise the price of a stamp, and we're going to freak out.
Right. Like, it's the oddest little things that move the needle for much of American society.
Or
right.
A gas tax.
Yeah. God. But, oh, that was an outrage.
But
yeah.
See, the Fabians know that, because at the end of the day, the things that we can see and the inconveniences are the things that we will fight on. But the big stuff,
yeah. We don't understand
we
it.
We don't understand it. It's, we won't fight on it.
It's too big. It's too complicated. And we don't understand it.
It's like healthcare.
The legislature doesn't even understand it when they do it.
The socialists in our society understand that if a Klan group wants to have a rally in Montana, the majority of society will say, no, they shouldn't be allowed to do that. We will then fight to censor the Klan and give them the laws and the tools to then censor us.
Right.
And it's the Walter Block concept of defending the undefendable. You need to defend the prostitute. You need to defend the deplorables in our society, because you cannot give the state enough power to limit those people. You know, and it's not even effective.
You just need to outshout them. But it's also... And this is what I struggle with in libertarianism, is we have a race to the bottom amongst ourselves because we're trying to defend, and we go down this spiral of deplorable-ism, we'll call it.
Libertinism.
And that gives me a discomfort at times, because I don't want to go so far in the mud. I totally defend everybody being able to do that.
I don't want
to
leave with it as my argument.
I don't want to go down there.
Yeah.
But I don't want anybody to have the ability or the force to say, no, you're not allowed to. I just want to shame you out of it, essentially.
Well, that's the thing, is like, even in our society, like, if you really look at it from a philosophical perspective, do we even have any real conservatives or libertarians? We can't find a candidate that'll touch Social Security. Like, that's just factored in and accepted.
Yeah.
It's the art of the possible at this point.
But I mean, like, that's the thing, is like you said, you know, you define, it is so toxic to our society to lead with like repealing the Social Security system. You wouldn't get a vote.
We are over 100 years into radical progressivism.
And it just keeps, it's a slow boil.
And you're not going to undo it in 2 years or 4 years or any, it's going to take a period of time. And we're going to see that with the new Republican administration, mm-hmm. and Trump. This week they were handed the keys to the Congress and have a mandate of sorts. And they're going to try to repeal Obamacare. And they're terrified now. They don't know what they're going to replace.
I mean,
it with,
Rand
if
Paul's telling them not
it.
To.
And when the
quote unquote libertarian Republican is telling you not to,
because they own it. They're going to own it when this is, you know, at the end of this next. I think in the next 30 days, I think about February 20th, I think is the day they have as a mile marker in the ground, saying we want it repealed and done within 30 days of Trump taking office.
Yeah. Well, that's the that's really the reality is that's all the time they have.
Absolutely.
If it gets ugly and it gets dominated by the other side about how it's done, it's going to turn into pushing Granny off the cliff again.
Yeah, this is going to be a really interesting first quarter for the Congress, because they're probably going to have a replacement for a Supreme Court justice.
Yep.
You've got confirmation hearings coming for about a half dozen.
For a whole bunch of people that about are going to have hard folks that there's gonna confirmation be a fight. Approval or an approval system to get through. God, I would not want to be Michael Flynn. That guy retweeted a Pizzagate article. I mean, that guy's going to go sit before
woke.
Senate. Yeah, he and Spangle watched a lot of documentaries together over the winter.
Pizzagate was a legitimate problem for the Clintons, was it not, Craig?
It is a legitimate problem still.
Yeah,
it's still going on.
This former CEO, bring him back. No, I think and Trump's in an interesting position where with one tweet, he can completely override the Congress.
That was brilliant. Like that shocked me what happened.
Explain what happened.
So they ended up, the Republicans tried to scale back the authority of the Congressional Ethics Committee, and the Republican House all voted for it. And I don't know if he was kept in the dark or if he didn't really think they'd go ahead with it.
About 2 hours after the news came out, Trump sent out a tweet.
Yeah, and just shamed. He basically slut-shamed Congress.
Yeah.
And it got them to, you know, basically reverse.
It was such a stunning display of
power, of the bully pulpit.
And stupidity, because it was so self-inflicted. And it was
out of touch of... It almost seemed coordinated and planned on purpose to position him well. That's what I was getting from it. I thought Paul Ryan is not that dumb.
Yeah.
And he knows without much going on right now, that's going to be center.
He has a lot to oversee. He's got a dabbing kid in the swearing in photos.
But it was a really good way to make Trump do triangulation and position himself as a centrist on behalf of the people.
But have you seen the hockey stick of the amount of people who were Googling their representative when that happened?
Yeah.
I mean, it was massive, and it was so silly, and it just didn't make any sense to me why they'd want to do what they... Abramoff lost them the Congress, you know, when Tom DeLay lost them the Congress early on in the Obama administration, or late in the Bush administration.
06.
And so the people really care about ethics. I mean, that's very important. And when you've got somebody that it has one of the people, the presidency is politics to most people. And so when you've got the Republicans who are a damaged brand, they're not, liberalism isn't dead. The Democratic Party isn't dead. And the Republican Party still is, more people believe that we didn't land on the moon than believe in the Republican Party. So why not build goodwill as opposed to do something? Explain exactly what they did, Greg.
I don't have my phone with me, but I mean, essentially they gutted the congressional oversight.
Right.
There's a committee that didn't, that they basically took away some of their powers. Because
yeah.
I think they had spent, and the Republicans are trying to say it was a fiscal thing, because they had spent years investigating individual members.
It was turning into a black hole of money.
It's also it is an independent agency still, because they backed off of it. They were trying to take away its independence and bring it to heel under the majority, which...
Turn it into an attack dog for whoever was in control.
In control, which, again, they never learn... They think that somehow they will always be in power forever, and it won't be used against them when they do these sorts of stupid things.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really dumb move, especially with the president kind of getting to set the terms on that. But I don't know. I would be shocked. I'm never shocked if something like that wasn't done on purpose. Like, to me, it just, I don't know. I have a strong feeling it's going to lead to a populist surge in approval for Donald Trump.
He's been remarkably effective, and he's done some things with his Twitter feed without actually taking the oath of office yet, where he's called out Boeing and he's called out Ford, and he has individually named names of companies and shamed them into making policy choices that he's advocated for. And we've never seen that.
No,
never.
It's always done behind closed doors. And that's why you never can really say that. Like, that's why a lot of Democrats lost so much goodwill, like during undertaking any policy, because they do it behind closed doors. If they did it, he does it in real time, and he doesn't let anyone know. He just goes and does it. Like, I didn't even know about the Ford meeting, about them deciding not to do the $1.3 billion expansion in Mexico
And they went 700 million in Michigan.
Yeah, and then it'll create 700 jobs. And I just thought, That wasn't on anyone's radar, and now he's doing a press conference about it, and all the New York Times gets to do is report about it rather than, you know, report details that would make it look farcical. You know, because at the end of the day, they're still, instead of building a new plant in Mexico, they're using an existing plant.
Right, they're expanding,
but they're also expanding a Michigan plant. And it's going to be the most fun thing to watch, because if he slut shames Congress, he's going to be really damn popular.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
And it's going to be fun.
I guess, but you also need them to get some stuff done.
Well, they will. Like, it's still a Republican Congress, a Republican Senate, House, and him, and then Mike Pence being the whisperer and go-between using his years of relationship. So
there was, in The Man in the High Castle, a lot of similarities between the Nazi propaganda and the evening news and Trump's Twitter, Alex Jones. You're just like, everything's great now. America loves everything again. It's, you know.
Yeah, they have to. When you, if you apply for citizenship, you have to take a civics test as a Nazi. And you learn about what the American history was before, and, you know, the American extermination, how we killed the Indians. And they're very, very, very quick to point out how horrible we were before as well, and how the Nazis have never done anything terrible.
Oh, sure. I kind of like this.
Yeah, this show is built for you.
Oh, well, you wiped out my people, and I, you know, I advocate for a wall, and you guys all tell me, oh, what, you're so stupid. Now I get a casino in a little fenced-in area in Oklahoma. If I just convinced my ancestors to build the wall, you people would have stayed in Europe.
No, we would have thrown a blanket over. So, listen, that's why you need vaccines. Otherwise, you're going to get a blanket of smallpox. So, yeah, well, what I mean is, like, there's, you know, like the carrier deal, it's always the devil in the details, and, you know.
Nothing's pure. Like, it's not because
But my point is,
everything's pure in The Man in the High Castle.
Yeah. Brilliant. That's where Trump is brilliant. He fully understands propaganda and its uses and the way that people do not pay attention. It's just like even Facebook, who is now censoring fake news, kills me over a fake news article using my own freaking website. And, you know, Trump understands.
I'm sure their default is to err on the side of caution, which is if someone really is dead, they're going to go ahead and do it rather than question it. And people shitpost to a person that's dead's Facebook wall.
Yeah. Well,
was dead for hours.
I was.
And how do they tell you you've died, by the way?
You just logged out. You can't log in. You can't log into anything. Mm-hmm. I was in the middle of a conversation with a girl.
Out.
And then I just disappeared on her.
Greg, that was the greatest day. Killing Spangle.
Well, I was laughing so hard because I didn't have anything to do with it and I could just enjoy it.
Was it the greatest day?
It was the greatest.
And then Aaron showed up. And then we were going to do the prayer vigil the next day.
Aaron did my crawl space inspection that day.
And then he did some free plumbing.
It was
great.
And
then you shitposted my ex-girlfriend.
That's because she's being a bitch.
Well, that's true. She was. She deserved it.
Yeah.
So she called me a stalker.
So I showed her what stalking looks like.
Yeah. When trust me, I'm the furthest thing from a stalker, especially with her. So
it's a good little day.
We were shit posting at speeds previously unseen.
It was an excellent day. It reminded me of the good old days, early in brutalism.
Yep. Early.
It is so cold in here. Sarah had to go.
She's gone for the auxiliary blanket.
A blanket.
And I don't know that I would use that.
I don't beat off on that blanket.
No, I don't think you do.
This is a Snapchat blanket. Probably doesn't get that much action.
Snapchat.
What was she trying to say?
What are you implying?
Yeah. Are you trying to say that?
I'm saying this is the one you always use in your Snapchat.
Right.
He does a lot of things in his Snapchats.
Good thing I don't get those ones.
I know. I was just checking my Snapchats on my phone, and like I was jarred because I saw my apartment on it.
Have you Snapchatted Rob's fiance lately?
I have not accidentally snapped Rob's fiance lately. Last time I did that,
she's spoken for now. Be some serious repercussions.
At least for the next few years. So I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I was just going through my Snapchats and I go, oh, that's my apartment. Who's in my apartment? Oh, it was Jeremiah.
There's three people here right now.
I'm confused, okay? I'm very confused. But
I was just inventorying your dry goods over there.
I have the Old Testament grain bins on top of my refrigerator.
Those are from the Blaze collection from... is that your
I'm not a prepper. Food? I'm a bulk buyer. So if you go to like Fresh Time and you bulk buy oatmeal and then you get it in that bag, I'm not going to have this disorganized, awful cabinet full of torn open bags.
Random sacks
of flour. So a couple years ago, I got the...
you're like the poster boy for the container store here.
Those are Walmart.
Those are the best containers
they
ever.
They are, aren't they? They're the Better Home and Gardens from Walmart. They're $15 for a set of three. They're wonderful.
You have... hundreds of dollars worth of containers.
Hundreds. Absolutely. I've got probably
$25.30 40 cents worth of oats that he'll never use again.
I eat oatmeal every morning for breakfast, jackass. What do you eat? What do you eat?
Coffee.
Coffee. That's not food. I'm waiting. Tell me your diet, Jeremiah. Let's go through it. I'll compare it with Bittner.
Welcome to We Are Dietitians.
We'll go through your diet. I'll send it over to Bittner. He'll score it for you.
Let's see. Today's diet was coffee in the morning. I entertained a customer for lunch, so we went to the Penn Station, their choice.
Oh, that's good.
Had the 8-inch Philly cheesesteak.
Where are you at that Penn Station was good eating?
Bloomington.
I was in Bloomington, Indiana today. Had the Penn Station with the home.
Some people have no taste.
The home cut. Your customer chooses. I know you're not in the entertainment business.
I understand. But
when,
like,
they want to go somewhere, you take them. So we had.
I get that, and I eat at Penn Station a lot. I love it. But, like, go to Runcicle Spoon or, you know.
Oh yeah,
or Bear's, like, Pizza Snowline.
We were being quick.
One of the hipster places where it's...
If it was quick, then
it was,
you know.
It was a quick lunch. And, okay.
The quick lunches, that's the premium.
Yeah. It was
at
fine.
Least it wasn't White Castle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So, you know, we talked about the O'Charlies next door, the Upchucks, but the last time they went there, it took over an hour to get service.
Did you go to Cheddar's?
Oh, I love the Cheddar's. Right, I go to that Cheddar's a lot.
There's a Cheddar's in Bloomington?
Yeah. It's on the other side of 37. It's on the east side of the road.
Oh, okay.
Or as I used to call it, the Devil's Lair. There's a Cheddar's over by me. I've just never been.
You want to go after this?
There's a Permanente Brothers over there, too.
I don't know anything about that.
It's supposed to be
good?
It's supposed to be really
Permanente?
Good.
That's the Philadelphia place, right?
I would go with you, but I've spent all my money on vitamins. So.
Oh, no. Well.
Premium firewood.
Premium firewood.
4 cents.
So I have to buy Sarah's dinner and yours
and
then?
Mine, yeah. I've only got $7.
I'll take $7.
I've got... It's in quarters.
He's not lying, Greg. This is what it'll be.
This has been, because we were going to do Stacked Pickle last week, and you were like, I can't go.
I just didn't.
I spent all my money on premium firewood.
I didn't want to.
How many weeks at Aldi's is $7? $7 and quarters.
28.
Oh.
Are you an Aldi shopper?
I'm not.
You need
there.
To check out the yogurt, courtesy of Paul Morrill. He would definitely recommend
He's
it.
He's a yogurt evangelical.
I've heard they've really upped their game in the organic department.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's organic.
They're wonderful.
I do like the Aldi.
They have really good cheeses, too, surprisingly.
The
47 cents for a dozen eggs.
It's a German company, and the brothers started this German grocery, and then one brother split off and started Trader Joe's, and the other started Aldi's.
It always comes back to the Germans, Greg.
Did you know that?
Well,
there's your...
some things right. I just want to start watching this show where I can imagine if the right-sided one.
The Hitler Youth is every episode.
Let me explain something. This show, there's points where you want Hitler to, like, it's Hitler versus somebody else, and
you're
like,
cheering for Hitler.
I really want Hitler to win. Mm-hmm. I don't want that guy to win because he's worse than Hitler.
Hitler's the good guy.
Yes. You're going to love it.
Hitler versus Stalin, I'm just saying. Toss up.
Well, see, that's the thing, is there's no Italians in here. But it's literally like, we had the Cold War with Russia. Mm-hmm. And instead, it is the Cold War between Japan and Germany.
Exactly right.
And that's what's happened. And then there's little, I don't want to give too much away, but what we had over the Cuban Missile Crisis, mm-hmm. that never happened. That's an alternate reality. Mm-hmm. Our real reality is their alternate reality.
Yeah.
It's but really you have a Cold War between these two superpowers, and they're... It's exactly the same thing that we went through with Russia, but Stalin's out of the picture. FDR is not around. You know,
FDR
in
this world was assassinated in his first term.
Yep,
and somebody else took over, and he was a secret Nazi sympathizer in this version of history.
Have you ever read about the business plot?
No.
So, like, during FDR's tenure, there were a group of businessmen that were fascists, that were pro Hitler, that were planning with generals to do a coup in the United States, and then it got thwarted out before getting off the ground.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's called The Business Plot, if you can read about it.
Never heard of that.
Yep. It was. They made a movie about it back in the 80s, I think.
We were talking a few days ago about the Nazi-loving crown, Prince George and...
Queen Elizabeth.
Queen Elizabeth,
She was a Hitler Youth.
I think it's a BBC show. It's a British show. It's on Netflix called Conspiracies or Conspiracy, and the first episode's about the royals.
Oh, yeah,
And it basically outlines their Nazi sympathies, and, like, Rudolf Hess supposedly had a body double that served... Rudolf Hess died in prison in Britain in 1986, and apparently that was a body double.
If it had
double.
Been any other leader than Winston Churchill, there's no chance. I mean, England would have fell.
That it would have been France.
Yeah. I mean, they would have been taken over. That guy just had lived a life that was so miserable. He could take pain like nobody else could and make you proud.
With a face like that.
I mean, his life sucked.
Really?
Oh, that's what he wrote about. His whole life was just pain and misery, and that's what prepared him for that. That's why he could just continue taking it.
That's interesting. He was the World War II Donald Trump.
Oh yeah.
He helped cause the Cold War because he went to Missouri and spoke at a college with Truman by his side, and you know, the global politicians of the time were all like, "Listen, Stalin, we got to give him a chance." And he stood up and he goes, "Stalin's a dictator. He's killing people. He's massacring millions of his own citizens. We shouldn't treat him with kid gloves. He's an enemy like Hitler was." And the whole global community was just horrified. He's going to get us into a war. Now, they were right. He got us into a war, but he wasn't wrong about Stalin.
No, I mean, you know, he killed way more people of his own people than Hitler.
Yeah.
He killed 12 million of his own people, or Hitler killed five.
The Chinese have killed more of their citizens than
Mao
anybody else.
Mao was the great killer.
Let me ask you this. We hear so much about Russian propaganda. Why do we never hear about Chinese propaganda in this day and age, especially when they own movie studios of ours?
China doesn't... They're an interesting power. Like, they don't have much interest in...
They have better food. Nobody wants to have Russian food or drive a Russian car.
No.
Goulash.
Listen, I have some kimchi. I know that's Korean, but...
I mean,
Asian cuisine's highly advanced.
Well, think about all the other stuff we get from China.
Right.
Plus, but, they're not ideological. Like, the Chinese are, like, the ultimate pragmatists in history.
But so are the Russians, really. I mean, to the idea that Russia is...
China is an expansionist, though.
But Russia really is... You're telling me...
One tiny part of Georgia is not expansionist.
Like, China's communist, but they don't have an ideology other than practicality in selling things.
But wouldn't it benefit them to influence Americans' thinking? Like,
no,
China has continued to become more and more progressive or open... Where Russia has gone the other direction in the last decade.
Right.
There's a national pride, like,
but
in
why
Russia.
But why do you think that? Chinese propaganda. That's why I win. Go ahead, Greg.
But, like, the Chinese literally are the most practical people on Earth. They don't want war, necessarily. They just want to control the routes of trade, collect a small fee, and make sure that there's peace and order and that their economy continues to grow. Because if their economy stops growing, you see they are still old, and they're still mainly live in rural areas. And so the only thing that allows the regime to stay in charge is economic growth and new job creation for people to move into the cities. The second that stops, it turns into cultural revolution.
Mm.
And so they can't afford any kind of economic slowdown. If they do, the communist regime gets thrown out of power.
Sure. I was just thinking about that the other day because China is really actually a much bigger threat to us.
They're not a threat to anybody.
They're a bigger power than Russia, certainly.
They don't want it.
So
Russia will use their military.
Yeah.
Right.
And China will use their economy. And that's the difference.
Does China really have, like, you don't really hear much about the Chinese military either.
Oh, yeah, they have an air force. I mean, their big thing is they have one air force carrier.
Mm.
Like, that's the real ability to project power is your air force carriers. And so that's why the United States is so dominant.
Mm.
China has one, but then they have a really top notch air force, but they can't take it anywhere.
Right.
China just has a population that if you look at a list of the biggest cities in the world, they're China. You know, they have cities that have 10 million people in them. They're, you know, New York City size that you will not, you don't know. Yeah, it's unreal. Well, you know, being the IndyCar fan I am, you know, they were going to go over to a city. And I was like, well, what the heck is that? You look at it and they've got 7 million people there.
It's like, it's like nine Tokyos.
Yeah, it's just unreal.
And that's their sheer size is incredible, but they've never been a people that have. It's not an expansionist, it's just not an expansionist.
It's not
mindset.
It doesn't seem to be very militaristic.
They want to be left the hell alone.
Yeah.
Like, they're very much adamant about being left alone and making sure trade is conducted, you know, all across the world.
You think about Japan in the early part of the last century just invading and occupying China when the population scale is so off kilter, but they were able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, China and
it's because of the mindset
had a lot of USSR influence. I mean, the Russia and China are just as much adversaries as the United States and Russia are currently.
And you got to remember, China too has more debt than the United States, and their population's older, and they have a huge disconnect in their birth rate because they had the one child policy forever.
Right.
And so they just aren't set up really for global domination. I mean, technically, if we got in a land war, yes, it would be a nightmare for us.
Right.
But that's of little interest because their time frame for planning is 500 years.
China doesn't play in the Middle East either.
Right. They don't want to get bogged down.
They're not involved where we are, where we've been involved since 1948.
They have no interest in playing a role in foreign policy and being seen as the one that carries it out, because they realize it's just an economic waste.
The only folks they deal with are the ones that are in their part of the world. They deal with Koreas.
Of course, you hear the way that Trump is being talked about by a lot of journalists and you know, globalist thinking leaders. And it's like they're disappointed that Trump's not going to be the president of the world like Obama was.
Yeah, that he's not going to make sure that,
he's the president of the United States?
Well, there's been this general thing.
He's the leader of the world.
That's because Obama wasn't from the United States. Okay. I learned that from Trump.
Right.
But, I mean, that's the thing is it's been since Wilson, mm-hmm. since League of Nations, the idea has been that United States ideals and leadership would be carried out forever so that we could be sure there weren't mass slaughters. We could be sure.
Reign of 1,000 years, let's say.
But the idea is that as long as the Americans are in the room, you don't have to worry about things like Darfur or, those types of mass casualty events or genocides. But that isn't true.
Right.
And so all it's done is create a military apparatus that's so expensive it'll end up crushing the country anyway.
Spangle, do we need to call maintenance? I think your furnace is broken, my friend.
My furnace isn't on.
There, that's the problem.
Yeah.
It's as we record, the outside temperature in Indianapolis, Indiana. We have guesses in the room what the temperature is outside?
9.
The thermostat is set at 64. The room temperature is 66.
It's 12 degrees outside.
It's a little warm.
12 degrees.
With wind chill.
If you want to turn it to 67.
You should feel my nose right now.
Go ahead and turn it to 67. I am dear leader. I am generous.
Benevolent host. No, but I mean, it's... I don't even know where it all gets tied together, but
it's just interesting to see. Well, I think I don't know that we can tie it all together. I've just been spending a lot of time thinking about global power over the last
over his extended break and in front of the fire.
But when you really look at like the Man in the High Castle, and it just really shows you the logical conclusion of an ideology of world domination. And I don't think that America has designs of world domination, but we certainly...
It never initially did.
But we certainly feel like we have to be the...
Leading the conversation.
Quote-unquote adults of the room. Like,
look, in Syria, like, people are outraged we weren't in the room with the Assad talks.
Right.
Between Turkey and Vladimir Putin. I mean, he gets to be the new power broker in the Middle East. But it's good for us. That's your problem now.
Right.
And if I were a Sunni Muslim, I would be pissed because the United States, the electorate, has a lot different feelings towards human rights than Vladimir Putin does.
Yeah.
Like, they won't think twice about just running you over a tank without a trial. Or there isn't a Guantanamo where you get ice cream and just swim in the ocean. You just disappear.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, why do we care if Russia's in charge of the Middle East other than that pipeline? Let them have it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that, ultimately, it's good for stability, but that's the problem is it good for the human condition?
Sure.
Because it leads to atrocity. And, like, that's the thing is the United States has played a role, theoretically, as a moral leader in preventing such atrocities.
Have we?
Definitely, because you look at things like the Geneva Convention and the handling of prisoners of war. Like, we've always played a role in... Granted, all war is a crime and inhumane, but you try to... The American people and democracies just won't allow certain things like running over your citizens with tanks like in Tiananmen Square.
I mean, here at home, we certainly have a much... the separation of the military and... what we talk about the militarization of the police, and that is concerning, but at the same time, we don't have... Like, if you watch that Charlie Hebdo documentary on HBO... Like, you see the amount of French military involved in trying to catch the Hebdo murderers.
Right. It was like the Sarnoff brothers in Boston. After.
Yeah. You don't see Jimmy Mad Dog Mattis. We apologize. We've been chastised for saying Mattis.
Q95, Bob and Tom Rocks.
Right. There's a popular DJ for 30 years here in Indianapolis called Jimmy Mad Dog Mattis. And so it's Mattis. I've been corrected. But you don't see him leading the charge to get the Sarnoff brothers, you know? So we have a separate system. But at the same time, America has, like in Japan, we didn't even really need to drop Hiroshima. I mean, we had killed 1 million people with bombs in Japan in World War II. You know, we had done so much more with regular weapons as opposed to the nuclear weapons. I mean, it was really a display of force for Russia as much as it was a display of force. I mean, it was Truman saying to the world, we're now the big dogs in the room.
We're at lineup.
And he's the one who really started the expansionist idea, the globalist. He carried on that tradition of Wilson, FDR.
Well, the idea is that if you have one world government, you can have world peace.
Right. But that's
but as long
asinine.
As people have their own sovereignty, you have warring tribes.
Right.
You're really going to enjoy this show. You really are.
You're going to love it.
Well, the good guys won. So I like any show where the good side wins.
The Boston Massacre is a daily occurrence.
Where
they line up citizens and just pop them.
Now, listeners, when he says that, he's joking. This is not Robert Spencer sitting at the table. It's a joke, okay?
Yes.
For you thick libertarians that can't discern the sarcasm.
Greg, well, those are the ones Mercedes I want to are you I driving today?
Daimler Chrysler.
So.
America and Hitler.
So, I drive a Chrysler.
You know what?
Of course
it's
you
a
do.
Shame, Volks. I mean, I'm just going to say, the Volkswagen under Hitler was reliable, and today it's a terrible car.
At least you can believe Hitler's gas mileage, right?
Stupid yep. French.
I'm just saying, if you don't, you would never have the VW Bug if it weren't for Hitler. Or those buses in Denver.
Okay, so for those who haven't seen the show, may not get this, but for those who have, I was thinking, would I rather live under the German Reich or the Japan Empire? As presented in the show.
I could fit in the Reich just fine.
It's very likely that you would have had a leadership position.
You would have been John Smith or whatever his name was.
I mean, you actively want to tear down the government and your political ideology, and yet you're a Parks Board president. Trust me, Jeremiah Morrill's an inside
within.
Jobber if there ever
change
were one.
Change from within. Mm-hmm. Will you make plants great again in Henry County?
Will you issue a proclamation?
Or will you defend corporate farming? Which choose now? Organic, small farming, or Monsanto?
Monsanto is not all bad. However, you should be allowed to keep your own seeds. That is when you're going over the line.
Yeah. No, that's ridiculous.
That's completely over the line.
Yeah.
But I like to eat, and I think everybody around the table likes to eat. So legitimately, no farms, no food. You can't be so overburdened on agriculture.
We could live off liberals for a while.
Yeah, you just
go back to the old,
especially nowadays.
Go back to the old Rush Limbaugh principle, because everybody's fat because there's no nutrition because of his corporate farms. Greg.
Wow, you just got blamed for the American obesity epidemic. How's that for coming over to guest host?
Thanks. Listen, that's how he treats his donors, folks. So once again, $7 a month that we are libertarians on the PayPal or Patreon.
It would be an honor for me to insult you, Greg.
That, you see, that's the Japanese society there, Greg. It's a great honor, Mr. Spangle, to be here, to be in your presence.
It's like the old Rush Limbaugh joke where he said, listen, we need to eradicate liberalism. We'll just keep one liberal in a cell at every American college so we never forget.
Yeah.
That was his policy.
Yeah.
He was for physical removal long before anybody else.
Hoppe just logically justified it and made it okay.
Yeah.
And something we should pursue as a society in the libertarian social order.
We know where Greg's going. He's going straight to the Reich. Where would you go, Sarah? Which the Empire?
I would go to the Reich.
You wouldn't?
No.
You realize you have to eat with chopsticks at the other place, right?
I wouldn't go to either.
You'd be in the.
You'd be in the.
I'd be a martyr.
You'd be in the neutral zone.
No, I'd be a martyr. I'd try to steal a tank. And
the marshal in the neutral zone is Greg.
Could you have anyone with that? That guy acted that part so horribly. He was so weird, and it was stupid.
It was creepy, what it was. I think I'd be a neutral zone because I wouldn't be off the grid.
You're not allowed to go to the neutral zone.
I'm not allowed to go there?
You guys, you don't just get to decide
Gun
where you're
to the
at.
Head.
You are where you are.
Well, I could fake being in the Reich really well, and you and I might have a power struggle to take it over, but...
Fake. I would go do.
If I get to shoot liberals,
I would go to San Francisco. I would go Japan.
Of course you would. You're fabulous.
If I wasn't allowed to be in the neutral zone, that's where I'd probably go to.
To Japan. Yeah. So what's San Francisco like?
It was very Japanese, very Tokyo, 1940s Tokyo.
And that exactly. is superior to
you look at the dress and society and culture and TV, and it's all very late 40s, and mm-hmm. you're set in the mid 60s, and so you see there's 20 years of progress that just didn't take place because of the socialistic society.
That and German fashion and just their approach towards everything. It's all engineering and maths. They're not exactly known for their fashion.
I don't know that we, I don't know what we've said in this episode.
You blame Jeremiah Morrill for the American obesity epidemic.
Obesity epidemic. Well,
that's kind of a shitty thing to say.
It's not him personally. It's park board presidents like him.
People that abuse their power.
He would vote for meat and against plants.
You are this diet thing's got you.
No, I'm just
Jeremiah's all for the harvest though, because that's what they do in Henry County. Is they harvest.
Is that a
the
double
trees.
Is that a double entendre?
Yeah.
No.
We grow.
They harvest the trees in the park.
That's true. I did the most libertarian thing in the history of the park. We sold timber to pay for our roof.
Nice.
We had a furnace problem. We sold timber out of the. Deforested.
He's
clear cutting.
Deforested.
It's Indiana.
Wait until he gets a hold of the rainforest.
Oh then, my God! You're becoming you belong in San Francisco.
Where are we going to get
the clean air? I'm selling the naming rights to the Chris Spangle Rainforest. you can pay to name the rainforest, or we're clear cutting it, Spangle. It's up to you. One way or another.
Pick a side.
One way or another, it's going to pay for us.
What was the choices? I was thinking of a joke.
To sponsor it and name it after yourself.
You're going to sponsor it, name it, or we're cutting it down to pay for the needs of society.
Cut it down. I only have $10 in quarters.
So he found $3.
How many keys could he buy?
Yeah,
he found three. All of a sudden.
You've got to have an emergency fund.
It's just 12 coins.
It's a Dave Ramsey approved emergency.
Oh my God, I tapped into the quarter supply.
It was $10 in quarters, right? That's what you learned in Financial Peace, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what you're supposed to have.
Good.
You save $10 in quarters, and then you go pay off all your credit cards.
So what's the name of this movie? The Man in the High Tower?
The Man
in
the High Castle. It's on Amazon Prime.
You don't know who he is for the whole first season. You never see the guy.
And yeah. So he's just got the what actually happened that they won't let society see?
Only two people have seen all these films of the alternate universe.
Gotcha.
Hitler and the Man in the High Castle.
So they actually know what would have happened.
Yes.
It's all very fluid. It's not... That's a part of the mystery of the show. It's not defined. It's kind of a part of the adventure of watching it. For you, it's more going to be the pop culture and seeing the way of life and understanding the existence and the actual storyline.
So everybody still goes to work and now behaves completely normally?
Oh, yeah. No.
You have to go to work.
Yeah. So is it assigned?
You're lucky to have a job, Greg. You go to your job, you show up at your job, and you do your job.
Okay. Yeah.
Or else you're not going to eat and you're not going to...
But like, you have currency. So like, everything, it's not total central planning.
No, you have yen. You have yen or marks.
So there is currency. So you earn it, but you have to work. Yeah. So you have to be a producer.
There's more employment in Germany than there is in Japan.
How does it work in Japan?
A lot of the women are looking for work.
Right.
In the show, you're very lucky to find a job.
It's very 1930s America.
But you have to work, but then
in Germany you have to work. If you're in Japan, once again, the Japanese, they're behind as a culture, and you can tell that they're behind Germany.
Yeah.
And they're terrified of how far behind they are.
Yeah.
They realize the weakness that they have.
A ton of things are tied together by the end of the second season, but the people you hate, you'll learn to love. The people you love, you'll learn to hate, and then you'll hate them again and love them. I mean, it's very fluid, and it's sort of silly how does this one person end up in all these powerful places and these people all seem to be in the right place at the same time, but you don't care. You put that aside because it's so fantastic.
Yeah, that's irrelevant.
A lot of it's about survival as well.
Right.
You change your role or where you're at in society for your own survival.
Yep.
It's about getting through that moment and staying present.
So you'll adopt whatever the popular opinion is.
You are a chameleon to make it through.
Yep.
Gotcha. And then there's a man in the high castle,
and he has
seen an alternate history that didn't happen.
In a way, I know more than you know. So
it's like I'm interested to see like what's the so like they
he's the Hitler of the revolution. He's the Ron Paul.
Okay, he's seen all these movies and history that
he's
never
collecting
happened.
Them. He's collecting.
He just has.
So they never happened.
He has far more information. Well, there's. In the book, and then they've carried it over to the show, there's alternate realities. There's one character in the second season who spends the majority of the season in the alternate reality.
In our reality.
Yeah. So there's two universes.
So 1960s United States.
Yes. Post. And he's
baseball and American pie.
He shows up in San Francisco and he's
apple pie.
In the Cuban Missile Crisis. And he sees the horror of...
Where they're setting this thing up to go.
The horror of the nuclear weapon.
Sounds like it's moral relativism.
It's very interesting. I mean, it shows you the horror of the nuclear weapon and the destruction of it. And I mean, it's just crazy. Like, from the invention of the airplane, in less than 50 years, we figured out how to use the airplane to destroy humanity.
To kill everybody.
Right. Like, we are such a stupid species. Like, why? Like, you look at Fukushima and you just sit there and go, like, I mean, I'm pretty much all for nuclear power because it's clean and it's safe, relatively, and you have few
Spangle
accidents.
Wants to take away coal miners' jobs. Why do you hate Appalachia, Chris?
I'm not against coal.
You're just against burning it.
We've got peak oil on the way, so we've got to figure something out.
Disproven.
Really?
Yep. Modern trends on a big day to this last year.
Interesting.
Peak oil is now at the price it is. There's so it's not going to be a problem anymore.
Good. All right. Well, then more plastic. But I mean, to me, it just makes sense to have nuclear power. Nuclear weapons are stupid, but you look at Fukushima, it's like, maybe wouldn't build the nuclear power plant on the fault line right next to the ocean. Just saying. But
how do you plan on cooling your nuclear power, Chris?
I would, with a garden hose for my neighbor.
Just borrow it.
He's got to pay the water bills.
That's right.
Also, this fucker upstairs, let me tell you something. You can't hear me, but your water meter is in my apartment. So,
are you judging? Are you water shaming him?
I'm going to switch the numbers on the things and run my bathtub for 3 months straight. So, you better keep it up.
He's probably a subscriber.
Absolute madman.
I'm going to put flyers on his door.
Listen, Greg,
subscribe to Wall.
You're the one who told me you have to go to places that you can't fathom. Can you live with yourself? And I can.
That's fine. As long as you can live with yourself. It doesn't matter if the world can live with you. It's if you can live with yourself.
See, 2016 was the year of petty. 2017 is the year of revenge.
I've already killed a man in 2016.
Have you?
On the Facebook.
He's here.
I have his blood on his... I don't know how he came back. Lazarus Spangle.
Listen, I am risen. I got so much hate mail because I just wrote on my "I have risen." That is sacrilegious. I'm like, people know.
What was your cover photo?
People know I'm not Jesus.
What was your cover photo?
Somebody made a meme of me where I was going up into heaven, and it said, "Heaven needed another angel." So
they chose you,
and they chose me.
Good for them.
They had to settle.
They got a spangle.
I live by a moral code, okay? It's my moral code, and you follow it or else.
I'm by far the worst person here. That isn't too often.
I don't think you're ethical in the stoicism sense.
Yeah.
You're certainly not like a Christian, you admit that.
I love Christ.
So
I just don't think he was divine. See, right, unless humanity's divine.
Like, Sarah's the best person here, because she didn't kill anybody last year.
Sarah's an active member of a church. Her church just, thinks I'm the worst person in the world.
Why? Don't think you exist.
I haven't visited them.
Why not?
I should be there on Sunday mornings.
Why haven't you gone?
That's a really
important part of her life.
It's so far away.
I mean, it's really important to her. Isn't your church important to you, Sarah?
Meh.
You're not Sarah.
There's nothing wrong with it. You don't have to be embarrassed.
Sarah,
it's important to me, but knowing where life is going
now
in the future...
Now she can't share this. This whole thing, she can't share it on Facebook
fine.
Now. She's going to be shamed.
But no.
No, listen, you guys are having
life is changing.
You guys are having relationship problems, and Greg and I are going to help.
No, what I'm trying to kind of do, and I don't know if people notice this or not at church, but I'm kind of trying to put a little distance to make it easier when
you get married to Jeremiah.
When you
moved
to New Palestine.
Newcastle.
Oh, I sure hope I'm not moving to New Palestine.
The Knights, the New Palestine Knights. You know why
they have a very good football team.
You know why they're the Knights?
They're a 5A superpower.
Will there be pressure on you to stay there?
I don't think so, but it's like it's the place where I grew up. Like,
right.
I've been there since I was a teenager. They've known me since I was like 12 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's been a huge part of my life for over half my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So leaving is like, it's something that would be very hard, but yeah. I wouldn't want to do it just kind of and be like, all right, guys, see ya. And so I'm kind of being selfish, but also kind of, you know, just trying to back up as much as I can.
So would you get your own room at Jeremiah's house?
No.
I mean, he's got 17 rooms. See, if you buy...
Riley has a room. My dead cat has a room.
Right.
I have a podcasting room.
There's a
wing in there. I have room for my boats.
He has 4 garages, 3 patios. He's got 7,200 square feet, and the house cost him $87,000, and it's a lovely house.
Beautiful home. Love it. I love the layout.
I'm going to hire Aaron to hand dig me a basement, too. It's going to be great.
Could you price this out and lock him in there with a shovel?
He's giving me crap.
He's 2 cases of hams.
He's inviting friends over to his house and then makes them go crawl in his crawl space and give him a free estimate. That's like...
Aaron did park his... camper in the driveway
for four days.
Yeah, like, so it's kind of a wash.
It's like me inviting, hey, Greg, come over for dinner. Oh, yeah. By the way, price me out a mortgage while you're here.
I bet Greg would price you. We could get you in a house tonight.
Nope.
Not if he's on quarters as his asset. 6 months reserves are required.
Nope. I am staying here, and I am happy here. You know what more space brings? More junk.
Women.
And that, too. And I don't need any of that.
So, yeah. So, it's... In theory, you will be making the trek to Newcastle?
That would be the plan, yes.
When would said plan
be? Yeah, when
are
you guys
out?
Getting engaged, Jeremiah?
There's no timeline for that right now.
No timeline.
You know, it's so funny because Jeremiah forever, I couldn't get him. I'm like, you should date. You should date. Especially when I was like in full dating mode. Now I've become Jeremiah. I'm like, I don't have time in my life. I don't have room in my life for women. And I'm just very busy, and they would mess up my lifestyle.
How busy am I, Sarah?
Busy enough that I only see you like one day a week.
Oh.
That's more than that.
All those but flavors. It is. You chose salty.
It is busy.
I know.
And making it work, but it is.
And so Jeremiah was just saying, you know, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And then I met Sarah. You came to the first wall live.
Second one.
Yeah. Okay. And you were there, and we met, and you were very friendly. You were very nice.
Spangle was very interested in another one of Sarah's friends.
Yep. She was radiant.
Newly engaged.
Yeah.
Not then.
Good luck with that. And so you were...
My only failed marriage I officiated.
And so she was very chatty and aggressively chatty. And I was like, you know what? I think I said to you that night, I said, I'm going to hook her up with Jeremiah.
You did.
I did. I just knew. I knew it was going to be love. And I knew that you would be persistent enough to break through Jeremiah's... But there was a...
I do remember a particular text in the Cabal group that you screenshotted, because it was right when you guys had first started dating. And you asked a question of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was like, his only response was... She's very talkative. He screenshotted a list of text messages from like that you woke up to or something.
He wasn't used to good morning hellos. And so, but then Jeremiah was like, after the first date, she was like,
I only date for marriage.
And Jeremiah was like, I don't want to get married. What is this girl talking about marriage already? Oh, how far we've come.
But for the it's good.
Now he's driving to and from Florida with her parents.
I've not been to Florida with her parents.
As she flies
to
Atlanta.
Georgia. We visited the little monument there in Marietta where Brett was
Bronze Bittner.
You have to walk up the at your own pace path.
To
the Bittner Monument.
Little Bittner with a pinwheel hat on.
Our friend Brett Bittner was elected and then reelected to the school board of Marietta, Georgia, a great accomplishment to which Brett has erected a statue of himself at the Marietta school board.
It's a bulldog.
Is it?
Oh, we got to have Bittner on. We can't.
Oh, yeah, we haven't had Bittner on in a while. We'll have Bittner on.
I know.
When Chloe and Kat both want to be on, by the way. Chloe told me she wants to be on, and Kat wants to be on, too.
Kat can be on anytime she wants. Chloe? Mm-mm.
Well, I don't think we're going to get
Trump
her without her.
Chloe?
What?
No. In fact, not. This was a really something I don't like Chloe any longer, but she worked for him, but she voted for Johnson.
I'm more of a fan, actually.
I hate it.
I love it. I'm all for it.
Where is your integrity?
I don't. Who needs integrity? This is politics. You don't have integrity in politics.
I'm just saying.
Mr. Hitler.
Kyle Greg.
Yeah.
No, I'm just
Moved
saying.
To Germany, you gypsy.
Gary Johnson. I wouldn't even go into it. I can't
we
even
don't
talk
have time for that.
I can't
we
even talk about. Up. I can't even talk about what a colossal disappointment 3.23%
Johnson Weld here.
I can't even get over the vice president of the Libertarian Party endorsed Hillary Clinton.
I guess Nick Sarwak got into some fight with Libertarian Jesus. What happened?
Me?
No, you're not Libertarian Jesus.
Oh, who's Paxton?
Nick Sarwark.
Nick Sarwark got into a fight with who? Ron
Paul. Yeah.
Well, I think it was about the electorate. Ron got an electoral college vote or something like that.
Yeah, and Nick was on Lions of Liberty, one of our favorite libertarian podcasts, and the chair of the national LP said that, you know, there are some things that Ron Paul believes that just flat out aren't libertarian, and you would have thought that he was one of the four people kidnapping and beating a young mentally handicapped man. It's not that I dislike Ron Paul. I like Ron Paul. It's that I cannot stand
the people around
him. He's a cult.
It's the way I feel about Butler basketball. Love Butler basketball. Cannot stand their fans because they are so arrogant and over the top.
You go say something
the
negative.
Butler way. Greg.
There is no Butler way. You had Thad Matta.
Right.
Thad Matta built that house.
Right.
You should worship at his feet.
Go say on your Facebook something negative about Ron Paul and watch what happens.
Dustin Reed will come through my computer
it's insane. Like, the guy.
What's up, Dustin, buddy? Love you.
The thing that
love
cracks
Dustin
me
Reed.
Up.
We need to have him on. We need to do a Delaware County live wall with Dustin Reed. We'll go to the Scotties.
They
have a Scotties.
We got a Scotties. We got a Scotties. And their other knockoff Scotties is.
You bring me five college students.
Well, Kat can meet us there because it's Muncie.
I'm in. One college
Kat
student.
Bring four friends.
To a libertarian podcast live at Scotties.
So, but my point is that the funny thing is that ANCAPs love Ron Paul because he's a right libertarian anarcho-capitalist, supposedly. And yet he collected a paycheck from the federal government. Yet Greg and I aren't libertarian enough. purity never applies
to Ron Paul.
When you're
first and you're alone, when you're a martyr like he was and willing to be a martyr and didn't bitch about it, then you get special rights.
I don't know. I feel like he bitches a lot.
I feel like Ron Paul was alone in a wilderness yelling about libertarianism for a long time.
I don't feel like he was alone. I feel like he was sucking on the government teat. Harry Brown wasn't out there. Harry Brown was excoriated.
But nobody knows who Harry Brown is.
I know, but had everybody sucked Harry Brown's teat, they would.
But he, you know,
nobody knows who Marshall Fritz is, but they should. Nobody talks about David Nolan, but they should. Everybody talks about Ron Paul. He sucks all the oxygen out of the room.
But it's because he got power and then
he sat in Congress.
Yeah.
He had a seat in Congress.
And he just kept shouting about libertarianism.
Massey and Amash are also going to have that platform for as long as they want to have
it. I'd much rather us worship Justin Amash than
no,
Ron
you wouldn't.
Paul. Yes, I would.
No, you wouldn't.
His Twitter's on fire.
Justin Amash is not. No, you wouldn't.
I wouldn't. Why?
You wouldn't. Because he is way more statist than Ron Paul.
Really?
He's the ultimate incrementalist and pragmatist.
He's a Greg Lenz.
But he's
kinda,
a policy wonk.
I'm kind of down with that.
No, you're not. Because when it comes to election time, it'll be pick a side. You're either with us or you're against us. You're part of the problem of the two-party system perpetuating the rape on American society.
Listen, I never kicked you off the podcast, okay?
No.
And you were committing heresy left and right.
That's not true. And you have come around to my opinions on, since the way Trump's cabinet shaped up, you were like, damn, I kind of knew what he's talking about.
I'm willing to give him a shot.
How many times did you vote for Trump, Greg?
Just once. I would have voted 10,000 times.
I got into an argument with Jim Davidson on Twitter about 3 million illegals voting. I'm like, every study by every independent agency and media outlet shows that 3 million illegals did not vote. Quit perpetuating lies. Like, it's just a myth. And like, I just don't know where people get this. Like, and it's just because Trump said that he would have won the popular vote had all the illegals not won. Like, it's just a claim with no basis.
Yeah, it's just.
And people just believe it. It's just so stupid. And this guy is one of the guy that I was arguing with, one of the best libertarians in the movement. And I'm just like, bro, where are you getting this from? And then his proof was a guy's tweet. Like, no. It's just so weird. Like, he's a black and yellow. It's just so weird what black and yellows think sometimes.
I never trust that.
Yeah. Also, we should also say, Keene and New Hampshire.
Stop it. Nope. Don't even do it.
Keene and the Free State.
The Liberty LARPers in New Hampshire.
Are apparently two different things.
No, they're not.
I did not know that.
If you live in the state of New Hampshire, you might as well be a part of the Free State Project.
Roger Paxton was very upset with us.
He's always upset about something.
Well, that's true. We really need to get his tea checked out. Like, somebody that angry all the time, there's some hormonal imbalance.
The reason I can't
did you
be
put
black
him on a soy diet and haven't told him what the
that's
newest trends are?
See? Yep.
The reason I can't be black and yellow is because they're victims. That's my biggest contention with any type of libertarianism where you are a victim I can't handle.
You just don't like...
Then you might as well be a liberal.
I don't know why you and
I... The state
I get
oppresses me. Oh, my. My roads.
I oppress the state.
That's right. I do the oppressing.
That's right. I'm the one who knocks.
I'm the libertarian oppressor.
All right, kids. Well, this has been we haven't had a directionless episode like this in months.
See, this is
a Seinfeld episode. The show about nothing.
People need... That's why we need laws.
Strong
need
central
government.
Planning.
This is what happens when you free range an episode.
This is the Man in the High Castle.
It
spontaneous
just
order
going
doesn't work.
To the Man in the High Castle.
It's
that
a great show.
Thing.
It's a great show.
We expect a book report, Greg.
So
when
much.
I, when I tune in,
the
for
book,
the next
is
episode,
the book better?
No, I who reads?
It's Philip Dick.
You don't read
top to bottom, left to right. I read news articles, fake news.
You don't read books
twice a year.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I'm not a big reader.
He's like every other person alive.
I'm very busy.
No, I know. That's a great way to go to bed at night.
I'll listen to a book. Oh, yeah. I'll watch The Man in the High Castle until
you can go to bed okay. Watching TV.
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah.
I get too into the storyline.
So. Oh no! I'm
I gotta have silence and darkness for an hour before I can actually shut my brain off.
I'm out in 30 seconds.
No kidding.
Yeah, I hate
no
people
problem
like
at
you.
All. No problem at all.
I'm like. I'm a diesel.
I decide when I sleep, and then I go.
I'm a diesel truck, man. It takes me hours to fall asleep and hours to wake up.
You know, that's a sign of poor health. Maybe if you know.
I should eat more organics.
Drink more water.
Maybe water keeps you awake.
It just irritates Greg so much, and I love it so much.
It really doesn't at all. It just kills me. I don't want to see you turn into one of those Bittner people that health shames.
Oh, I'm going to health shame.
I can't wait for Spangle juicing in 2018.
Not because I care, but just because it's annoying.
It really doesn't annoy me at all. I just find it funny to antagonize. Health shaming is probably my new favorite hobby.
Can you get kale on Prime Pantry?
I don't know. I see the joy of kale is that you get to go and pick it out yourself at the Earth Fair.
Like a Red Lobster.
Do you go buy kale just to see single women?
I mean,
I was going to say, like, that is
have
the
you
one.
Ever been to Fresh Time?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I've never
Whole
been
Foods?
To a Fresh Time in my life. Oh, I live in Newcastle, Indiana. We have we have a Walmart,
food
we
desert.
Have a Kroger, we have an Aldi, and there used to be a Marsh, but it closed.
See, Kroger has their organic game on point. So
we have a Kroger. It's very expensive.
But the Walmart's
only
a lot
the rich
closer
people
to
go
his
there.
House.
The Walmart is close, and I like the Aldi.
See, I can't, like, Walmart.
I haven't become a true Hoosier. I don't call it the Aldis and the Krogers.
It isn't Aldis.
Aldi.
Aldi's. I can't get into Walmart.
They have two sets of doors. You go in either one of them.
And
if it says out exit only, that you can go in that.
Like
door
I got a great value on my grain bins. But like for most things, it's just like it's not that much cheaper, and then you've got to go and deal with the Walmart shopper. And like I needed something the other day. I was like, honestly, I'm going to pay a dollar more and go to CVS so I don't have to go into the 31 Walmart.
But then you have the automated checkout place, so you don't have to really deal with anybody. Once
no.
But the 31 Walmart is disgusting.
It is.
The one that's on 31 on, here in Greenwood.
Like
oh,
right over here.
Yeah, that's not too, it's not too far south.
And your other option would be Beach Walmart. Grove.
Yeah. Like honestly, yeah. if you go to this one down here, you have a better chance of scoring some single moms, but...
I would just, for where you live, I would go to the Meijer. Meijer is the place
I would
be shopping every time.
Oh, that's my jam. Yeah. Meijer's where I go most of the time.
But I don't know why you go anywhere else.
Oh,
when I go to Colts games, I park down there. I park at your Meijer all the time.
Is there a bus?
Leave cars there.
How the hell do you get to the stadium? It's 10 miles away.
Oh, no, carpool in with people.
I carpool, yeah. My people come in, we meet down there, I leave a car there.
Well, you'd know, but you don't get invited to those tailgate parties.
Uh-oh.
That's where my car was on the day we had that tailgate party.
That's
with
a great
all
idea.
Of our friends.
All my friends were there, yeah. It's a great place
to meet.
Fast
way to get back,
right here
too.
In Spangles' neighborhood, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't go to those. Or he doesn't get invited.
You know, if
those.
You're a true friend...
He doesn't know sports ball.
That's true.
If you're a true friend, when you came over and you parked literally 2 minutes away from my house, you'd stop by and say hi whenever you're down
here. Oh, now
but
he
you
wants
said
people
we
to
can't
just stop
drop
by.
In.
I'm just
only saying. If you call first.
No, yes, make sure you call.
I mean, the answer will be
call
like,
on a Sunday it'll morning, 7:30
It was so funny because like Aaron knows me so well. The other day, I sent a Snapchat where I was in my house. And Aaron goes, hey, Greg, do you want to come over to Plainfield and go to the BW3s with Tad and I? And I'm like sitting there going, am I chopped liver? And he goes, I got a Snapchat. You're home. You're not leaving. I was like, all right.
Yeah. I don't feel bad about not inviting you.
You're a good friend.
But they were like getting drunk on like a Sunday night. It was like, what? But well, I didn't realize Aaron took the day off and they like went bowling with his kids for once.
As if that matters.
Uncle Tyler.
All right, so the episode's over then, right?
Yep. All right, so final thoughts for this episode. Sarah, you've listened to enough episodes, so you know at the end everybody gets to say something they'd like. Is there anything that you'd like to say?
In an indirect way, do we get to claim a little bit of responsibility if you two get married?
I will take all the credit.
I will give Chris Spangle the credit, sadly.
For playing matchmaker?
Can you give me a girlfriend?
Oh, I've tried. All of the single ladies I know are either underage or, you know, they end up being engaged like 6 weeks later. So,
well, that's mental defection. So I
get a claim responsibility for that one. Because no. I saw your best friend that got engaged the night before it happened.
And boom.
No, and I kid. I don't want to be married. So any girl that you would hook me up with would want to be married. So.
Well, he did try to hit on my 15-year-old little
cousin. No, I did
that
not.
Was a, yes, that was a did. Little much there.
No,
he's
I
like,
did
who
not.
Is this angel?
Give her
and I'm
two
like,
to 3 years.
No.
I didn't
15.
Know she was 15.
Little officer.
Genetically
she's
modified 15. Food.
No, you can't trust tell. Me. The GMOs. And I was like, no, nope. Did I
typical
not?
Typical black
yes,
and yellow libertarian.
No.
Quit trying to,
watch
to make
these
me a
laws
pervert.
Not apply to Spangle.
Yeah.
I am not.
But yes, I'll give you credit.
I am not in the free state.
You'll give. Yep.
There's,
let's
there's
hope for the best then.
The age of consent is 18 at the Spangle household.
But nobody over 20.
But nobody over 20. That's
I'm glad
right.
that you only know that because I told
age.
You. Because
did.
There was a there morning was an, in particular where you
there
didn't
was an
know.
Incident. There was an incident. We won't talk about that.
That
Sarah,
was pretty funny.
Your final thoughts?
I have nothing to promote, but other than watching the show, The Man in the High Castle, it's really good.
And if you're in Morgan County and you're a listener to join the Morgan
oh,
County
yes.
LP?
Yes. If you are in Morgan County, Indiana, then you do need to join our Libertarian Party. We meet the second Thursday of the month at Ralph and Ava's in Mooresville, and it's usually around 6:30 or so. This week, or not this week, this month, we might be playing Secret Hitler, so anybody who's not what? From Morgan County should still come anyways.
What?
Secret
it's
Hitler
really fun.
Is a game.
It's a board game.
Like their one I went to was a blast.
How does Secret Hitler work?
Well, there's one person who's Hitler, and then there's a group that are the fascists and a group that's the liberals, and whoever wins.
And you conspire.
Wins.
So who's exactly. for freedom?
Hitler. Duh.
The liberals.
The liberals.
Do you even need to ask that?
I don't know. The liberals I'm hanging out with, not so much.
These are liberals in 1940s Germany.
Classical liberals.
So.
And Aaron, yeah. Aaron is the chairman, and we all know Aaron knows
is
how
he?
To party. He is
yeah.
the chairman.
He yeah. is the chairman because that's the one who has the least responsibility.
We don't want to trust him. Yeah. Jer, is there anything that you'd like to say to all of us, or Sarah in particular?
I want to thank you all for having me on again. It's the first time I've been on since the end of the campaign. I wound up managing Rex's campaign for governor, and we had a very solid showing. Mentioned it earlier, Rex did have a stroke about a week before, but
yeah.
He's doing very well. He's about 2 months out. He's working a little bit and on track to make a full recovery. If you follow Rex on his Facebook page or on his campaign Facebook page, gives pretty regular updates, and he's not coming along quite as quickly as he would like to.
which would be instantaneously
and running his empire again, yeah. But very, very thankful for the medical attention he had. He's definitely got his wit, and he showed up at my Christmas party, unlike some people in the room. So, just wanted to
Greg,
thank
Greg. Is there anything
folks
that you'd like to say? Anything you'd like to say to the rest of the room?
No, just thank Jeremiah and Sarah for coming on. Good to have you on for the first time, and always good to have Jer on. And is there anything that needs to be mentioned that's coming up?
When's the next Wall Live? You got a Wall Live scheduled there, buddy?
We haven't really talked about it.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We talked about a special barn party. We're talking about a few different things, so.
Looking forward to your next major event.
Will there be UFC at this barn party?
I might fight Jeremiah. I mean, if he keeps it up the shit. If he keeps it up.
I think we could raise some big money in a Spangle brawl.
Oh.
No joke, he boxed in high school.
I did.
Can there be
I'm
mud?
Not sure. He wants mud wrestling.
I want jello. What
t-shirt?
What color lime are you wearing, Spangle?
Pudding. If there's not pudding, I'm not getting in there. I'm gonna
hide. Lime Jello wrestling.
Not Jello.
Pudding.
Pudding. I want tapioca so I can get a massage while I'm wrestling. Is there anything grosser than tapioca pudding?
No.
It's like gross eyeballs.
Bill Cosby selling you tapioca pudding.
You win.
I would rather be put under while eating it, truth be told.
Well, here's to the day when we're all in the home eating tapioca pudding.
Yeah. No major news story, though.
That's my favorite part about a Chinese buffet is going for the institutional pudding at the end.
That's bomb.
That little bit of chocolate pudding there, that little spoonful.
And the random microwavable pizza they put out for
the
kids.
Desserts,
real
the desserts that are by numbers.
Oh, God.
Gotta love a good Chinese buffet.
Asian food is quickly becoming my number one, almost nearing Mexican food. If you're wondering, Indian food, dead last. But the chances that I would ever eat at a Chinese buffet, you have a better chance of me tonguing Rosie O'Donnell's behind before I would go to a Chinese
That's
buffet.
That's such a lie.
They've got hard-boiled eggs, Spangle. It's your wheelhouse.
They got ribs.
It's disgusting.
You haven't been to a good one.
Mayonnaise shrimp?
I've been to a great one. I've been to one in Chinatown, New York City. It was the best Chinese food I've ever had. And then 3 months later, I was watching 2020, and they had an expose on unsanitary conditions in Chinatown restaurants, and I saw rats running across the plate in the place that I ate.
New York's all rats.
Two rats.
Trump Tower has rats in it, Spangle. Let's back off this high horse. Cast the first stone, Glasshouse.
I just have never... I love hibachi.
He's verklempt.
I had hibachi last week. Love hibachi.
So this episode's over for the third time now, right? We're done?
Yeah, we're good.
We're good.
Don't invite yourself on if you're going to just get out of here.
I'm just going to call your show over.
That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me.
And Greg will try better next time.
But see, he knows that I'm not going anywhere.
guys, we're gonna have to go to dinner. We're gonna have this podcast over in 45 minutes because Vibbert's sick and I have to go in early.
Well, that's the thing is he said it like there was some major time constraint, and then I asked him that. He's like, "No,
We can go till 10:30.
I've been up since 4:30. Yeah. It's 9 p.m. now, and I just didn't want to be here till 10:30.
And they still got to get home. You got an hour drive, and you got to go to dinner. So
have you seen any good TV shows lately, Greg?
I'm gonna start one.
Yeah, what are you gonna watch?
The Man in the High Tower.
High Castle.
Hightower. That's a good character on...
I love Boomhauer.
I'll get it right.
Sarah, have you picked out your wedding dress yet?
No. I'm not like some other people I know.
That was catty.
It was a little catty.
You and I have been so catty this episode.
Year of the catty.
Year of the catty. That's right. We were petty last year.
I didn't know it was the year of the petty last year. I feel like
I missed out too.
Right?
I thought this was supposed to be the year of the petty.
Me too.
I was like, oh, okay, cool.
I'm pretty sure it's all going to be petty. So, Greg, anything fun coming up this week?
Do we have anything this weekend?
I don't know.
Tomorrow night I'll be doing the Hendricks County Boys basketball tournament with Rob Lyon. Flopping Rob Kendall? Crooked Kendall?
Crooked Kendall.
Tax cutter Kendall. Yeah.
Kickback Kendall.
Kickback Kendall. So, and I'll get to speak with him about his recent engagement to the lovely Haley.
He's engaged.
Does mm-hmm. Haley have to pay his sewer bill? Because I heard he doesn't pay his sewer bill.
He gets very animated over that, so I don't know. I'm going to let that get figured out, however.
So
Rob tends, anytime there's the slightest little attack lobbed at him by a rhino on the Brownsburg Town Council, he goes 0 to 100 faster than anybody I've ever seen.
I really have to go to the bathroom.
Do you?
But I'm not ending this podcast anytime soon.
You're just going to keep dragging this thing out? I'll tell you what I am watching is I'm doing a rewatch of Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, which I highly recommend.
Who streams that? Who's got that?
Netflix.
Netflix does?
Yep. It's on Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
It's an Aaron Sorkin.
Buy it?
Is it on disc?
I have it on both. I mean, I've watched it on Netflix, and then I have the DVDs.
Oh. But I'm
saying... DVDs or Blu-rays, Grandpa?
DVDs.
Oh, my God. Who 480i? Who can live like
my
that?
My eyesight's shitty. Like, I should have glasses, and so it doesn't make any difference at all.
Greg's a menace to society, driving down the road with no glasses.
No joke. The last time I had to, you go in and get your license updated, and you have to take the eye test again. I was totally guessing and totally scared it through. It was great.
That's so libertarian.
I have astigmatism, and just let it ride.
I let it ride. He's the only thing. He's veering to the right, trying to read the sign.
It's like, well, when it's dark and like it's not a well lit road and it's raining. I'm this.
Greg drives by GPS only.
I drive roads.
Instrumentation.
We're going. We don't need roads. I'm just waiting for that. I saw that Google invested a whole bunch of money, or ABC or Alphabet, their parent company. Mm-hmm. Now it's been out. They invested like $100 million in flying cars.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Great. Cessna.
So
that's what they're talking about. It'd be like Ospreys for everybody.
Sarah, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Hungry.
I am hungry. I've literally had a bag of chips and then I had a good breakfast at like 6 a.m.
I have some.
He did give you one of the almond.
I did have an almond nut thin, which there's like 20 for 90 calories. So yeah. I got 2 calories worth of food.
Would you like some organic seaweed?
How do you prepare your organic seaweed?
You just eat it. It's
ew.
So good.
I'll try it.
It's good.
Is it still wet?
No. It's not freshly harvested.
It's dry.
It's freshly harvested out of my my apartment pond.
To chisel it out in the wintertime.
I like the kind that has the highway scum that sits right on top, like broccoli with cheese.
I eat locally sourced bass. Oh. I just go out back and fish it in the pond from the lake.
Come here, fish it.
I just throw dynamite and I put it all the rest of my freezer.
Do you end up like Tad Western in a fish tank if you get real hungry?
Did you really lose a fish?
Oh, yeah. There were deaths.
I'm just saying, if you had...
Plural?
Seriously?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's not even a joke. We had deaths.
The cat died. The fish are dying.
I feel bad that I didn't stop
him. He should stop feeding corn dolls.
Like he was laying back and he was on Bumble, like, and he was giving me live play-by-play, and then he finally quieted down, and I thought he was finally going to sleep, and sure enough, I hear, thoom, thoom, come here, thoom, thoom. Give me smooches, and I just started dying.
Man, I really missed out by going to bed early.
You didn't go to bed early. You'd have been like 3:30.
Okay, like a half hour early.
Yeah.
Tad Western.
Well, this happened at like 4:15, like, because it was just madness, like, Tyler and Jesse Riddle had just gotten out of control.
Jesse was in rare form that night.
Jesse Riddle was, we didn't know he could play piano.
No, and he can't unless he's blackout drunk.
But he's blackout drunk, and he's just sitting down at the piano playing. Beautiful music.
And keep in mind,
unbelievable.
20 minutes earlier, he's so drunk, he can't pick magnets up off the floor and put them back on Jeremiah's refrigerator. Like,
he plays piano, and then you ask him a question. Everything stops. He looks at you, can't speak. And then he looks back down, and we're back to beautiful.
But he's like,
yeah, it's complicated.
But then if you ask him about him playing piano, then he fakes like he can't do it. And you're like, what just happened? Like, you were just playing something beautiful. And then it's just, and then he's like, nah, nah, nah. And then just goes back to whenever he turns back around to the piano and people are done talking to him, he goes back to whatever music he was working on. But it was...
It's classical,
it
too.
Awesome.
It's not like he's just, like, plucking out, you
right.
know.
It wasn't funny. Like me trying to play Jingle Bells
right.
whenever Jared first got
right.
you know, I must say computer.
Got the new computer.
The music computer.
The music computer.
It's from the 30s.
All right. I gotta
you ready
wrap
to wrap
up?
Yeah. You really got to use
Rest Rider. I want to troll
I
him.
Won.
And I know.
I won.
I tapped out.
Victory.
Well, it went from just having
cucked.
It went from just having to pee to
major transaction impending.
You guys got to go.
How bad is it?
It's fluid and it's ready to come out.
Oh no.
That's a lie.
Fibrous.
It's fibrous.
We have fecal
too much kale.
Fecal urgency.
You know, if it's runny, you're not healthy.
No, I've been eating. I went from eating McDonald's almost every day the week before to this week eating kale and lean fish every night. And when you go to that jump in fiber, you go from like 5 grams of fiber to 40 grams of fiber.
It just starts going straight through.
Things are happening, man. I am clean.
You know that he just went in the restroom?
He did. Well, he was in there earlier. There's a telltale sign when people come over to podcast. They leave the door wide open. They just peed. They leave the door a little cracked. There's something suspicious happening in there.
Unless you're Chloe Anagnos and you just run in there and rip the dirtiest, loudest, rumbling fart ever.
The loudest?
Was rancid. It made the temperature increase. And actually, you'd have probably loved it because it would have raised the temperature about 4 degrees.
I mean, honestly, it was Cyclone-y.
Had she been holding it in for a while, maybe?
Oh, yeah. And she hadn't worn deodorant that day. And so she had Greek food for lunch. So she smelled like a big farty garlic.
It lamb. Was like it, I can taste it. And it's been a month or maybe a year.
I lived with a woman in my ex-wife for...
He popped the boil on her back once.
For 4 years. I've never heard a woman fart like that. So, yeah. It was aggressive.
It was aggressive.
So, and,
well, all right.
And then she goes in the bathroom and she kicks Mittens out. Mittens just wants to hang out.
Not true. Tried to kill her.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, thanks.
You guys are still podcasting. I jumped in your bathroom there.
We can't say bye without you.
Man.
So,
you got to have every guest present.
I know. The second I said I had fecal urgency.
That's what I thought he was
doing. That's when I had to go, yeah.
He went in the bathroom. I was like, I'm going to get in there.
I was hoping he'd wait it out.
Oh, no.
I couldn't wait in that room any longer.
I think you just go in the ocean like your childhood days.
I was a little kid, and my mom made me poop in the ocean. Okay, is that what you want me to say on the air?
That's why we can't go to that ocean anymore.
If you
kids don't go to the Atlantic, Spangle ruined it.
If you,
let's be clear, BP did nothing to the Gulf of Mexico. Spangle tainted it years earlier.
If you swam on St. Augustine Beach, you swum with me. All right, thanks for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians. And if you go to St. Augustine, which I highly recommend, go to the Scenic Cruise box office and ask for Larry. That's my grandpa. He finds it hilarious when people do that. So, all right, thanks for joining us here on We Are Libertarians. I appreciate it. I'm so tired, and there's just no discipline in my brain whatsoever tonight. And that's why I wanted to cancel tonight, because I knew it was going to be a shit show.
We didn't disappoint.
You
no,
son of
not.
A bitch. Thanks for joining us. This has been an episode of We're Libertarians, and Lordy, we promise
to do better next time.
Hey, it's Dear Leader again. You know, all these commercials that you love that I'm talking about, you need to complain about them. I can tell. I know you hate it. I know you're just sitting there, listening, going, oh my god, when is this going to end? How many of there? Oh, I can't take it anymore. I just need to tell him how stupid he is. Well, you can do that. You have many, many, many ways to tell me how dumb I am, or how much you hate this show, or how much you hate these commercials, or how much you hate me, or how much you love Greg. Everybody loves Greg more than me. Oh, god. Anyways, go to WeAreLibertarians.com. On the sidebar, we've got all of our social links. You can hate us or love us on YouTube. You can join our Facebook group and talk with other listeners and see our daily dump. No, it's not a number two. It's a news dump. Greg posts a lot of articles, and only half of them are about Donald Trump. So go to WeAreLibertarians.com, and on the sidebar, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. We're on SoundCloud. We're even on Google+. That's right. We don't ever post there because nobody goes there, but we're on it. So please, WeAreLibertarians.com. Check it out. Join in on the conversation. And you too can make fun of Dear Leader via memes. Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.